The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool. Host. Annual.
Host.
Host.
Annual.
An annual meeting of
the big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls. They're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
They must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell do they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Fellas, I think we could listen to the radio or something.
Oh, that's time for me. All right. Hey, welcome to PFW in Progress. I was kind of listening to the opening there. I didn't realize it was my time to jump in.
Wow, he's really lost
it. Always one. Your time, Freddie.
There was no all right there.
No all right. All right.
Okay, there's the beginning of the show.
It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. The team's getting ready for the Indianapolis Colts. And something I guess I just didn't realize until a few moments ago, this is the first time we played Luck in Indy.
On his turf.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct.
So this is something new.
Brady Luck 3.
Something new to look forward to.
This time it's Indy.
Yeah. And from what we've seen of Andrew Luck, do we see a discernible difference between home and away performances? I don't think so.
No, he's been great in both.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in general, it's what Eric talked about. The home is better.
Right.
No one knows for sure exactly why, but home is better.
Welcome to the show. Paul was on Felger and Maz yesterday and made it very clear that he loves Andrew Luck.
I do. Well, I said that here. I said everything that I said there, I said here, 2 hours earlier.
Well, and that's why I praised you for your best appearance on Felger and Maz, because I thought you brought PFW Paul to the table.
I thought it was great.
I'm just
glad, friend, that I was able to please Andy.
Bitch slapping
as
and
you know, that is
callers.
My sole goal.
I was a little disappointed you didn't say, Tony, it's okay. We don't have to agree.
No, you brought
if
it.
I thought they would have gotten it, I would have thrown that out there.
You were vintage Paul, putting down callers,
yep.
Arguing
caller.
With the host. Bitch slapping some guy from Peabody.
I was arguing with the host.
Yep. Now, that wasn't a setup, right? It wasn't like your neighbor calling in from Peabody.
No, I didn't know the guy.
He even made fun of Peabody while he was on the show.
But that's my town. I can make fun of my own town.
Paul wearing a nice Abercrombie Fitch sweater.
Right now?
Yeah.
This is an oldie.
Structure?
It might be a structure.
Nice.
I don't know.
Yeah.
This has got to be a Christmas gift from like the 90s.
Really?
I don't think he would wear Abercrombie Fitch.
Oh, I think you would.
I don't think I could. Mm. That's for like skinny, teenage kids.
Kids.
He would be like an 8XL in their sizing.
When Abercrombie Fitch first started years ago, it was more of the English country gentleman type thing.
I used to have some stuff, but then rest, structure went to express. Everything went skinny European.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous.
Whole metrosexual.
Yeah.
Oh, metrosexual.
Oh, I thought you were saying the whole metrosexual look. Andy, you got to watch yourself.
But there's no place where you can shop for men anymore.
No. Well, Brooks Brothers is still pretty good.
I can't shop there.
Yeah, but you can shop there.
I mean, a shirt's like $175.
Oh, I can't afford that.
No. They have sales all the time. You go over right over here to the Rent Them Outlets, you can get like 3 shirts for, $150. So
I'm sure that qualifies as cheap. It's cheaper.
No, it isn't cheap. It isn't cheap, but it's good quality.
Is it real stuff?
What do you mean isn't real
That's
stuff?
That's the latest Consumer Reports studies.
Oh, yeah?
That these
the outlets are like,
outlets
rejects.
Well, not rejects,
well,
but
that
it's,
happens.
I know it does.
It's not the same. Like they did tests on stuff that we might not know, but like seams.
Listen,
instead of being a smooth, nice seam, it's like a.
I've been saying that for years.
Material
Fred
is different.
Fred and I had it out with Brian Morey way back in the day.
Yeah.
About, you know, brand names in bargain outlets.
Right.
You know, like you'll get a Ralph Lauren polo shirt at Marshall's. And it was Fred and I, you know, it was our contention that it wasn't the real Ralph Lauren stuff.
It's a different grade.
Yeah.
And that's what this Consumer Reports did, a whole thing, which things were the same and which things didn't live up to it. I forgot exactly who matched, who didn't. But there were a lot that, like, the material wasn't as good, the this wasn't as good.
Yes.
So, yeah, maybe you're right.
I've always felt that way. And I
But have you checked Brooks Brothers? Have you gone to a regular Brooks Brothers and compared it to that?
Yeah, one? I don't know. I
don't know from Brooks Brothers.
Wait a minute. You buy $50 shirts that you're going to stain within a day?
Yeah, I've gone to the Brooks Brothers outlet store here at the Rentham Outlets, and it seems to be pretty good stuff. So maybe it's not as good as in the actual, but it
and
seems
thick
that way.
Through the shoulders?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it has to be because, you know,
because you're fat.
I'll burst right through them if not.
Because he's going to start making his boobs bounce.
All right.
He can't today. I mean, then he just spazzes and has an epileptic seizure.
All right. Getting back to football.
Yes. Big game. Are you excited about this game?
I really am.
Because there's a little bit of me. It's not Brady Manning. I mean, there's no history or not enough history in that. But it's two elite quarterbacks vying for positioning in the AFC. And it could be, if you're a believer that Brady isn't done, that he has 3 years left, or maybe, you know, some people think maybe more than that.
Right.
You know, Jerry Thornton, maybe it's 5 years. Well, you're three games in now. You know, maybe they face again in the postseason. Maybe then they play next year. You could be starting a little something here. And even Luck talked about it. He doesn't feel it yet, but it'd be kind of cool if there started a little rivalry here.
Yep. I mean, as long as Manning's in the league, though, it's always going to be in the AFC. It's going to be Brady Manning.
Yeah, but what if Luck comes out and kicks ass and plays like a perfect game?
Oh, yeah. Well, he has to establish that. You know, he has to do that himself.
But he doesn't have
just
to.
Just because he's Andrew Luck doesn't give
Manning
it
didn't.
But right.
How many times did Manning lose to Brady and they just kept saying it was a rivalry?
And he doesn't have to overcome anything. I know a lot of people are like, well, he's thrown eight interceptions. Well, you're really comparing his rookie performance in Foxborough as like that's what he's going to be? That's not fair to him.
No.
Manning, you can say he is what he is at this point. When he comes to Foxborough, he looks jittery, he does the man, whatever. But Luck, you have no idea what he is. And what I'm saying is if he goes out and blows doors and makes the Patriots secondary look as crappy as Paul thinks it is, or as he expressed on Real Radio yesterday.
This is unbelievable.
I just think that you could have a little something here.
You could. Really, though, what I'm looking forward to most in this game is our defense against Luck.
Right,
it's not Brady and Luck. I want to see how good our defense is.
Right, but
you know?
Those things are going to cross paths because I don't see any way that the Colts don't allow a lot of points to the Patriots. So for Luck to be in the little battle that I'm sort of portraying here, he's going to have to dominate your defense. Somehow.
Right.
So,
and I'm hoping he doesn't.
Because as Brady said, you're not scoring 13 points and winning this game. Maz was good when he said, oh, there's a great – throw your defense under the bus before the game even starts.
His subtle shots at Brady never cease to amaze me.
They're very entertaining.
And that's, you know, that's part of what ended up precipitating the whole thing is, you know, the whole premise of offense bad, you know, and Beadle jumped right on it. You know, I agree. They're going to need to score points. I mean, they're not going to score 13 points and win.
What do you think
the
lowest number they can score and win?
Patriots?
30.
To score 30 to win this football game.
Yeah, and that doesn't,
so 29
mean, that doesn't mean that Indy is going to guarantee score 29.
Right.
What do you think the lowest amount of points the Colts have to score to win?
30. I think that you've got to be in the 30s to win the game. I don't see any way that the Patriots are not going to score points in this game. I don't.
Predicting a tie. Each team's going to score 30 points.
But yeah, what if they both score 30?
Is there a way
without win? What I was starting to say is I don't think that the Patriots would have won the game 22-21 over Denver.
Mm-hmm.
They scored 43. That's why Denver only got 21.
Is there a way the Patriots can beat the Colts and without turnovers and they shut, you know, the Colts offense down to the point of 20 or less points? I'd without turnovers.
Is it possible?
Yeah. Without turnovers.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't envision it. That's all.
Yeah. But is there a way, like,
because it could. You could have, like, sort of like you did against Denver. If you have a couple early three and outs and Brady scores and puts the pressure on.
Right. If you get out to that early big lead.
But then I think the turnovers are going to probably come. And even though the turnovers didn't create it, the turnovers will be there in the final stats. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but then your eye says that's not why the Patriots won.
Right, because I think this.
Well, that's not why the Patriots beat Denver.
No, I know.
But I do think this secondary and this defense could come out and have, you know, two or three drives where they make a big play on third down, Revis bats a ball down, Browner, whatever, and all of a sudden, because Brady's dominating what I think is a bad defense, it's 21-0, and that game is over.
And you're taking field goals out of the game, right, and the score's down.
And you're making Luck try to make plays, and he throws a couple picks, but you didn't get there through the interceptions and the turnovers. You got there through a couple.
So if that happens, what do we say about this defense?
It's impressive.
Elite.
Right. I don't know. I'll have to let you know.
In today's standards. I'm not saying 85 Bears.
No, but today's standards
on that day, they were elite. I mean, why does it have to be a grandiose performance?
Overall right now?
In yards?
Overall.
Yeah.
They're 16th, aren't they?
What do you mean overall?
Points or
yards? No, combined. They're ranking.
I think they rank you by your yards, I think.
Yeah. Well, or points.
When they say top defensive team, it's yards
by yards.
Right.
The rankings are by yards.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are. I don't know what they are in rankings. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
The column that I always see, there's versus the pass, versus the run, and then combined.
That's yards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're
yards allowed.
Yeah. I think they're
16. Yeah, they were on them. Now they're down to like middle. But how are they on third down? How are they points? How are they in the red zone? That's the
mediocre in
pretty much
all of them,
everything. They're mediocre.
And this is what I started talking about yesterday. To my eye, they're much better than they have been. And all of those things that you just mentioned, the statistics don't necessarily show that.
Right.
Now, against Denver, the statistics did show that. I think Denver was like 3-for-11 on third down in that game. I didn't say that the defense didn't play well against Denver. I just felt like the offense was more impressive.
Right.
And it sort of spun off out of control from there. But I feel like from watching that this group on defense has played better than it played last year. But the numbers don't show that. The numbers don't say that.
Do you think in today's NFL that if you have a really, really good offense that piles up points,
your defense is going to look better? That's what I feel.
Well, what I was going to say is, do you feel that when that happens, it's hard on paper to shut down the other team's offense completely? Like when you get that 40-10 lead, they're going to get some yards. And so it's not like the old days where, you know, you can hold a team to one touchdown when you have a big lead, because eventually they're going to just get yards because they go into, you know, pass mode. And
I think it depends what your philosophy is on defense. If you want to play prevent after you get a 21 point lead, you're going to give up yards, and maybe not necessarily points, but yards.
Right. But if you don't play prevent in those situations,
then you could potentially shut a team out.
But you could also be hurt by, you know, the other team putting caution to the wind and taking more chances, and you're not in prevent and more big plays.
I think
there's
two sides of it, though. I don't think it's hard. I think if you have the offense, I think it's a tremendous advantage for your defense. But I understand what you're saying. When you have a big lead, the prudent thing to do is to allow yards,
right,
and let the clock run and get out of there.
And I also think a lot of players do it.
Yeah, they absolutely do it.
A lot of safeties, you'll see them kind of standing around to see if the guy's going to go down before they even need to get
involved. You're not going to look to light a guy up.
I guess my
But it's easier to play defense when there's no urgency on the other side. Yeah. They're not kicking field goals. They're just
I also think you're gonna going to give up some yards. Motions.
And I guess my question is, my real question is, are the days of these teams that just shut down opponents completely and you have these amazing defensive numbers, are those over?
No,
those
it was only, over. I mean, it was only 10 years ago that we saw that with this team.
I would say last year, it's an attitude. It's a philosophy. And when you get guys like Richard Sherman and those guys that have the attitude that we're going to kick ass and take
names.
Or
the Super Bowl,
I still think you can have that.
Yeah. Super Bowl is a good example.
Super Bowl is a good example. I'm talking about over a season, you know.
Well, Seattle did it
over
a season.
Seattle did it pretty much over a season.
I don't think their defense has been as good this year as they were last year. That might be to your point that it's hard to have a shutdown defense consistently. It's all the same guys.
Right.
Yeah, but that,
I mean, they've lost some of the depth, but it's basically the same starting lineup.
But then you get into post-Super Bowl, and is there some sort of hangover?
Sure.
Because a lot of teams, offense or defense, after a Super Bowl have some sort of hiccups. But
I think if
you get a coach and some players that go with the philosophy that we're going to be a defensive team, we're going to kick ass, we're going to hit people, we're going to swarm to the ball, you can still do it.
But to my point, I feel like Seattle's offense was much better last year. Russell Wilson was much better last year than he's been this year.
That's not even arguable.
So I think it makes it easier to have a shutdown defense when your offense is scoring points.
Yep.
When you have the ability on defense and you got it rolling, and now the other team is one-dimensional all the time, and you're just coming after them in waves and waves, and that's what Pete Carroll did.
But that's a philosophy thing.
Right.
And they could have just as easily maybe let off their – but I don't think a lot of those players and coach, that's not what they do.
The prime example are the Jets. I mean, they've had, under Rex Ryan, a really good defense, but the offense doesn't always help them out.
Oh, well, most of the points they allow, the offense scores.
Right.
For the other team.
Right.
I mean, in the midst of a 2-8 season, the Jets' defense is not that bad.
No.
Now, statistically, it's probably terrible. They're probably among the leaders in points allowed. When you're 2-8, you give up a lot of points. But, I mean, I watched them play against Pittsburgh this past week. I watched them play against the Patriots. It's not that bad of a defense.
No, it isn't. Eric's here.
Yes.
Were you at practice?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Cold out. It's getting colder, isn't it?
It's a little cold out, yeah. But it's
an Arctic blast.
Big change from yesterday with the fog and everything.
Yeah.
But they stayed in the bubble to prepare for Lucas Oil and a closed roof, I would assume it's going to be, to keep that noise level high. So they were back in the bubble. Good news for Dominique Easley, who was back on the field. First time since last Wednesday
that
when we saw him getting treated. Mm-hmm. And still no Silver. Still no Chandler. But other than that, everybody's out there participating.
Great.
At one amount or another.
Good.
Yesterday's injury report.
I'm getting sick of the fingers.
Yeah, it's almost comical now with Fleming and Ebner with the finger injuries. I don't know.
Marcus Smart like.
But they're pretty. I mean, again, knock on wood, they're a healthy team for the most part. 11 weeks into the regular season, that's pretty good.
Yep. And by healthy, we mean Brady and Gronk.
I mean overall.
And Revis, right.
You know,
yeah,
the heralded players.
Yes, the great players are out there, but I mean, still, you're basically missing one player, which is pretty good.
Yeah,
for this time of year.
Well, and Mayo.
I mean, you know what I mean, on the active roster.
Wait a minute. So,
well, you have
if
to...
Gronk goes on IR, you're not missing him because he wouldn't be on the active roster anymore.
I don't see. I don't consider Mayo the impact player that Gronkowski or Revis or Brady is.
Nobody does.
So the fact that he's
still
not out there,
a starting caliber,
he's a starter
Pro Bowl
who's on
caliber,
right? And same thing with Ridley.
Well, at this point, you feel like you've gotten over him. In
yes.
other words, you are what you're going to be without
yes.
Mayo, so you don't have to keep talking about him.
And
now.
I think I would count Mayo and I would say Mayo and Jones.
When you're looking back
at
the season,
I would do that with Ridley. I don't necessarily. I think you've gotten by, your offense is scoring 30 plus points every week, you know, with or without Ridley.
You think you know what you are without Mayo right now?
Right now,
because I do not.
I would count Mayo as a lot.
I still think the run defense is a question.
I think when you look at the season, you say, oh, you know, they lost Mayo and they had to overcome that. That's absolutely a factor. But at this point, they've adjusted, is what I'm saying.
Sounds like Fred's already writing the three games to glory.
They've adjusted to not having Mayo.
I'm not sold on that.
That's fair.
I'm not sold on the run defense. On days when I watch this run defense get blowed up, I'm going to say, well, I know you sucked with Mayo at times, but I feel better if he were out there.
You could definitely say that you'd be better with Mayo, and I agree with that, and maybe you don't think the run defense is ever going to be good without Mayo. What I'm saying is when you're evaluating week to week, you don't have to keep saying – well, they don't have Gerard Mayo.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
By this time, whatever adjustments you're going to make, you have to have made them by now. You're not still trying to find a way without Gerard Mayo. You know what I'm saying?
I think those are two different things, though. Like, you don't have to continue to say you're missing Chandler Jones and Gerard Mayo because they've been out for several weeks now.
Jones, the only reason is because you think he might be coming back.
Well, because he's still on the active roster.
Yeah.
No, but my point is, you haven't replaced Mayo.
Right. Are you, like, you know what Akeem Ayers is?
I have no idea. Yeah. I have no idea. What they're going to do from one week to the next.
And that's your replacement, essentially. Right?
Ayers is playing, Mayo isn't.
Well,
and
I'm not trying Hightower is more of his replacement, right?
No, in the lineup I'm talking about.
No, I know, but Ayers is not doing what Mayo did.
No, but you're replacing a linebacker, and that's your replacement. No, I don't care where he lines up.
I'm saying more replacing the role.
The role. I know, role. Fred, I know what you're saying, Fred.
Yeah.
It's not a, you know.
Yeah, all right, well, then, you have then if you're going to use that semantic, and then we haven't replaced Hightower. Because we have right. no idea who's playing in place of Hightower.
That's a fair point.
What you're going to get out of that spot.
That's a fair point.
And I'm not trying to, like, because people might start jumping on Andy and I, because we've sort of, even though we both love Mayo, we've sort of been a little critical of him in terms of a playmaker.
Yeah, a little.
Well,
no one ever said he sucked.
Right. And they do not. Just because we've been critical of him doesn't mean that I feel like the replacements are better than him. Or I don't think that they've missed Stephen Ridley a lick, even though that they don't have a legitimate lead ball carrier, because
that
the offense
mean they won't.
No, they may miss him someday if something happens to
so
Gronk.
So far, they have not. Right,
but I think they have missed Mayo.
How come you mock me when I say Gronk, 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 but you don't mock yourself when you say Gronk, Gronk, Gronk?
Because I don't say it the same way you do. I don't say things with my eyes. I don't say things with my eyes like the emailer yesterday.
Suck it.
Okay, there's a difference. You're creepy about it.
All right. I have to leave at 1, just so everyone knows I'm preparing the
audience. Fred already made his picks, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, and he also ordered a lunch that may or may not be here by 1. That could be good for Andy.
And I have to leave at 1:30-ish.
Yeah. They open locker room.
Yeah, it'll be the Andy and Paul show, so get all your positivity out of the way now.
Call that the A-team.
Yeah, A-team is right.
Yeah, the locker room opens at 1:45 today.
I knew he was going to say that was so predictable.
But that's what you do all
the
time.
That's
part of the shtick. We know what you're going to say, and you say it anyway.
But I'm funny.
No.
It's all in the delivery.
No, I like when he goes, I almost said.
I almost said what I wasn't going to say, and now I said
it. He's gay. I almost said it.
I don't say that.
You do say that.
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, webradio at patriots.com. Let's hit up a couple emails.
Really?
Look, you're opening with
emails. Well, we're having a lot of complaints that we don't read enough emails, so I figured I'd open up with some.
That you don't read enough
emails. Even though the phone lines are stacked up, as usual.
Well, we're popular.
We are. They're still talking about us on EEI, aren't they?
Yes. Every time click on the morning show, I hear about us.
It's amazing.
Fred Kirsch, they got your name right today.
They were funny too. Did you guys listen to any of the Farrelly Brothers stuff?
No.
That was kind of cool. It was really awesome.
LT from Adelaide.
I think that new movie doesn't look good.
I haven't.
I think the old one was.
Well, you have no sense of humor.
So, you know what? And we'll continue our EEI talk here. Jerry Callahan does not like you then. He says, I don't like people who don't like Dumb and Dumber.
Good for him.
If you don't find that funny, there's something off with you.
I really kind of agree with Jerry.
Oh, see, I didn't like the Three Stooges when I was a kid.
Oh. I mean, I didn't like the movie, the Three Stooges movie, but yeah. The Three Stooges.
I just wasn't into it.
Humor?
I like Curly. He was my favorite, but I didn't like Moe, and I didn't like Larry or Shemp, you know?
Shemp was an acquired taste.
Yeah.
Do you have any interest in the new Jon Stewart-produced film, Rosewater? Have you heard about this?
I saw a trailer on TV, but I don't know what it's about.
It's about in 2009 when Iran had the elections and the green... revolution, when the students were, when they said Ahmadinejad fixed the election, and there was it looked like they were going to overthrow the Iranian government.
Wow.
There was a Newsweek reporter who was taken captive, basically, by Ahmadinejad's government. I think he's an Iranian American, but he was reporting for Newsweek, and he was there and got taken hostage and tortured for a long time, and finally was out. And they made Jon Stewart made this movie about him. And it looks pretty good.
Oh, okay.
It's not comical at all.
I was going to say, when does this get compared to Dumb and Dumber?
No, but I was thinking funny man. Jon Stewart is known as a funny man, but he's made this really serious movie.
Because you kept, tortured and held captive.
Yeah, no, it's not a comedy at all.
It's a laugh a minute.
No, but it's Jon Stewart. You don't really, I know he's political
on
his show.
Well, he's American satirist.
This is not satirical at all. This is like a real, based on a true story movie.
Sadist.
But it looks pretty good.
Hey, before I forget, too, tonight for the PFW TV show, Darrell Revis is our guest.
Oh.
So we followed up Gronk last week with Darrell Revis. If you want to see all the stars, PFW TV is where to go.
So should I assume that next week we'll have Brady?
Might not be a bad assumption. We can we'll effort that, as they say.
LT from Adelaide writes in, what has been the impact of having Revis on the team? I think that Revis can match up with every type of receiver and shut them down. On the other hand, Tlaib struggles to defend small, quick receivers like Edelman, big physical receivers like Demaryius Thomas or Josh Gordon. Well, he was with Demaryius. Anyway, It needs to ice up against Steve Smith. I don't recall a time that Revis has been torched, whereas I can recall Tlaib getting beaten on a number of occasions. Do you guys think that the impact of Revis has been undersold? Because I believe that the gap between Revis and Tlaib is greater than we first thought.
I think Revis,
I don't think it's been undersold.
No, I don't.
I don't think the gap between those two players is greater, but I think the exact reason that he just said is the difference is what I believe is the difference. Is Revis can cover any receiver, and Tlaib had trouble with smaller guys. When Revis was, I mean, when Tlaib was healthy, he didn't get torched by people like Josh Gordon. He wasn't healthy that day. I saw him shut down Jimmy Graham, so he didn't get bullied by Jimmy Graham.
JD in Tennessee, I hate that people still call the Patriots cheaters. Because of Spygate, and ignore the fact that the Colts threw 16 games to draft Andrew Luck number one. We lost TB12 in the first quarter in 08 and still went 11-5. Do you know why? Because having pride is part of the Patriot way. Ask Jim Irsay after we clobber them Sunday, who's the pussy now?
That's a great email.
These guys are cheaters, period. 2-14 to making the playoffs in 1 year. Get off Luck's jock, Andy, and call a spade a spade. I remember seeing Luck jerseys as far back as week 10 before they drafted him. Luck is an amazing quarterback, but they cheated to get him.
How did they cheat?
F the Colts, F Jim Irsay, and as always, F the Jets.
But I don't understand how they cheated.
They threw the season.
But that's not
cheating. Why is that cheating?
It's in his mind, it's cheating.
Okay, so in his mind,
but
that's
in his
fine.
Mind, it's cheating, but it's not right. Cheating. They lost the games. They didn't win them.
You think it's,
you know what that is?
You
that's
cheat
a wife
to win,
saying,
not to lose.
That's a wife saying her husband looked at a woman and saying, you cheated on me. No, I didn't cheat.
You think it's ethical to throw a season?
Yeah.
You do?
I do. I think it happens all the time.
Really? You don't think teams that go
out, just because it happens all the time doesn't
necessarily make it ethical.
Let me ask you this,
Fred. I
think it's right to do that.
Yes.
I have no problem.
I wholeheartedly agree with the premise.
I do what's in the best interest of my football team, Fred. I learned that from a wise football legend.
So,
do you think what's in the best interest of your football team?
Do you think in
week
one,
if cheating on your wife was done all the time, you would say that's ethical?
No.
Well, you just said they.
But it's not
happens
cheating.
All the time.
No.
But the point is, that's cheating.
It's not cheating.
It's the right thing to do.
It is cheating.
If you have a bad team and you're going nowhere,
to throw the season?
Is
no,
my job to win one season or to win as much as possible?
No. He asked if it was unethical, and you said,
I don't think it's unethical. I think it's doing business as business is done. It's the way to guarantee success for your team.
In order to get better, you needed to bottom out. A lot of teams do that. It's called rebuilding. That's a very common thing in all sports.
But to quote the coach we always like to quote, you play to win the games.
Yeah, and he's a bad coach. I'm quoting the coach who says, I do what's in the best interest
of my
football team.
The guy who said that is out of work, by the way.
The guy who says, I do what's in the best interest of my football team, going to the Hall of Fame.
But let me ask you this, Fred, and I wholeheartedly agree that the Colts,
I feel like you should try to
the Colts dumped, okay? Do you feel like they dumped in week one?
I can't remember what happened in week one. I can't. I don't remember.
Do you feel like they opened the season with the full intention of going 2-14? Or did it kind of happen that way?
And then when Manning get hurt? Was it in?
They didn't know that Manning wasn't playing when they get into training camp. They didn't know for certain that Manning wasn't going to be able to play.
Then they signed Kerry Collins.
They signed Kerry Collins. If they wanted to dump, they wouldn't have signed Kerry Collins.
Yeah, I don't think they dumped from day one. They dumped at some point. I don't remember exactly what
Once
the
it
point
was apparent
was.
That Manning wasn't going to be able to, they didn't even put Manning on IR.
Right.
It was apparent that Manning wasn't going to be able to play, and then they replaced Kerry Collins with Curtis Painter. Now the dump was on, because it doesn't make a difference if you go 6-10 or 11-5 or 2-14. 2-14 was the better record for them. Now they dumped
because Andrew Luck was in the draft.
Exactly
right.
If Andrew Luck wasn't in that draft, it wouldn't have been. No one would be saying that. Right. Oh, they dumped. They dumped. If they didn't have the franchise quarterback to get, that was the key.
Sure.
But how many teams have you seen over the years that have? You watch. I'll tell you who team's going to do it this year. The Jets. Because they could screw up a free lunch. They're going to end up winning 3 or 4 down the stretch, and they will not. They'll end up picking 8th instead of 2nd. I'm telling you. You watch. And you'll sit there and say, oh, good for Rex Ryan. You won't, but a lot of other people will. And they'll say, oh, look at how hard they played right till the end. Dumb!
Remember with ML Carr and the Celtics?
Yeah, we're championship-driven when we're winning 15 games.
Right.
Yeah. And listen, I understand the little league mentality. You know, you always try. You try your best. I don't think they went into the season saying, what we need to do here is lose every game. I don't think that was their plan before the season started. I don't think they would have signed a veteran in Kerry Collins if they thought that. Now, you could say that they had poor planning. They should have known the Manning situation was more serious. They should have had a better plan for a backup quarterback and not brought a guy in I think Kerry Collins came in like in the last week of before the regular season. They didn't even have him for
preseason. Yeah.
Like, you could make fun of Polian for all that. I think he did a poor job. But you don't get any extra star points for, you know, going 6-10 or 7-9 in a lost season than you do 2-14. That didn't bother me at all.
The troll writes in, I'm completely addicted to your show. Awesome. Is it just me, or does it seem simple strategy to find that scab on my butt, Darius Butler, and simply throw it to whoever he's guarding? That 100% of crap couldn't guard me on one leg. Wow, somebody just doesn't like Darius Butler.
Well, I think that 100% of crap is 10 times better than Sergio Brown.
It's going to be a big Edelman week.
I think Butler can make some big plays Edelman occasionally. Week? I think it's going to be a big Could Gronk be. Week, a big yeah. Edelman week. I, right, I think they're going to kick ass and take names.
Who gets more penalties this week, Browner or Butler?
Browner.
Yeah,
I think Browner's just a safe bet.
Butler gets a
yeah.
lot of.
Oh, yeah. In doubt, I go with Browner.
I'm going with Butler, Freddie. Because I think Butler
Guys
gets a lot of holding
he's
penalties.
He's second on the team in penalties.
He gets a lot of penalties.
I'm Kettle from St. Louis. Do you guys think it will help the Patriots since they have played in Indy a lot of times? I know it's on the road, but there is some familiarity. And last question, is Fred going to pull a Belichick move? For instance, Andy asking for a pay raise and Fred saying, nope, we can't afford it. I guess.
Is this our first trip back there since
he
the
has
Super Bowl?
For 15 years.
Is this our first trip to Lucas Oil since the Super Bowl?
Yes.
No, you've been to the Combine.
House of Horrors, is that what you're saying?
No.
Brady going to throw the ball away for a safety early on?
I don't think it's really, most of the players in that locker room haven't played there. It's kind of my point. I don't think we have a lot of familiarity with Indy. Brady's played there. But
guy who matters does.
Army Mike
he knows
from,
where the play clock is.
Army Mike from
that,
Peabody
that
writes
they
in.
Won't have to look for the
no,
play
they
clock.
Won't.
Paul, you know Army Mike from Peabody?
Nobody's going to yell at him.
He's writing in. Good afternoon. I'm excited Peabody to be able guy. To write in. I wanted to write in about the doubt that people are having about this Colts game. Now, by no means am I saying that this is going to be an easy game, but I wanted to ask a couple comparison questions. Who is better, Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning?
Right now,
Andrew Luck.
Really?
He's having a better year.
Okay. T.Y. Hilton or Dez Thomas?
No.
Who?
I think he means
Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas.
Reggie Wayne or Emmanuel Sanders?
Emmanuel Sanders.
Sanders.
Dwayne Allen or Julius Thomas?
Julius Thomas.
Colts D or Broncos D?
Broncos D.
Like I said, I'm not saying this is going to be a walk in the park. Luck is able to run a lot better than Manning, and they have home field advantage. But if I had to say which game I would have been more worried about, it would have been the Broncos.
Yeah,
I agree. If that game was in Denver, I would have been more worried about that than this one.
Yeah, do you think the Patriots would have won 43-21 or whatever it was in Denver?
But I also, whatever you think of the Luck-Manning comparison, I don't think Luck played. I mean, Manning played all that well.
And if Luck plays
Luck
badly,
might play right, but he might yeah. also play really well.
Right.
And then I'll go, based on my eyeball, one game, Patriots versus us, I'll say Luck was better. Right?
Yeah, and you can make an argument
really
that Luck has been better this
plays.
Season. You
oh,
can
God,
make that
yeah.
argument.
Easily.
Now, I think Manning's a better quarterback,
like,
obviously.
8 billion yards and touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, what did Brady say? The most yards at this point in the season in history. He's up there in touchdowns, too. So
second. 26 touchdowns, second in the league.
You can
make
the argument
now.
And the fact that I don't think there's a lot of doubt, by the way. I've sensed a lot of, I can't believe the Patriots are 2.5-point underdogs. And by the way, I've been on that bandwagon. Yeah.
But he also left out, who would I rather have, the Colts running backs or the Broncos running backs? Well, I'll take the Colts running backs.
But I heard a lot more doubt 2 weeks ago than I do this week.
Because
and maybe
the Broncos
that's because
were considered the best
the
team in football.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. That's we're all in agreement.
Yeah.
The emailer is claiming there's doubt now, and then he's saying, compare
really
it to Denver.
It.
Yeah,
I think there was a legitimate swell of people that thought the Denver game was a toss-up and was going to be I haven't heard that this week.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I heard Gresh talking about, you know, they have to do the post-game show on the Sports Hub after the game. They sit in CBS and he goes, I'm just worried, you know, 31-0 Patriots at the half, and you're sitting there with Tanguay eating his hummus, and you're waiting until that's it. He was talking about, I'm like, 31-0 at the half? I mean, that didn't sound like a lot of doubt to me.
Scott from the UK, love the show, although I think I listen too much. Andy's characteristics are wearing off on me. I now giggle like a 12-year-old schoolgirl when someone says something that I can be taken the wrong way. three examples from yesterday's show.
Three examples.
When Fred was telling his story about his time in the hospital with his blanket, he said it was so worn from where I rubbed it too much.
You giggled at that?
And he just did it again.
I
missed it the first time, but it's funny this time.
I burst out laughing in a public place where everyone thought I was a bit weird. A slice of gold later in the show where Kevin should mark the tape, Fred was talking about the TV show and said, me and Andy decided to do the mail first. And in the next sentence,
remember that one.
Said, we doubled up on Tom Curran again. I laughed out loud in the same public place.
That one I did get because I gave Eric a look. And I was saying, I would have preferred to have done the female first. Yeah.
I don't care. I love listening to you guys except Eric. Keep up the good work.
That took an ugly turn.
Well, that's what he wrote.
I got to tell you something.
If he wrote, you wouldn't have read that, would you?
Of course I would.
Oh, sure.
He just actually mouthed it all out.
Of course, I read negative things about me all the time. People hate me.
I mean, if he had written profanity, you would not have read it on the air.
Oh, no, not profanity.
That's what I was just saying.
Well, sometimes.
He might have.
Occasionally.
Depends what the word was.
Depends what the word is. It's true.
Right.
Young Sidney Hart put on you know those white sweaters that are like Irish or whatever, and they're real thick?
Oh, the wool, like wool sweaters?
Yeah. Put one of those on for school
yesterday. The Irish spring sweaters.
Yes. And young Jackson Hart said, Sidney, that sweater makes you look really fat. And uh-oh. Sidney comes in all like mad or whatever. And I go, Jackson, what are you doing? Why would you say something like that? And he goes,
I heard it from watching you.
Nope. Worse. The truth is never mean.
Oh, God,
oh wow.
That's coming back to haunt
you. Yeah.
And I really had nothing to say to him. But then I did say, but it can hurt,
can
buddy.
Hurt.
And she's your sister, so you shouldn't try to make her hurt.
And she's as far away from being fat
as
you could possibly
the other
be.
Thing. But it did make her look a little pudgy.
Well, any sweater
sweaters,
like that makes you look bigger. But
those sweaters make, I mean, they add like inches all the way around.
They do.
Well, I mean, it's winter. You bulk up.
Imagine if Fred wore one of those.
I knew he was going to do that, too. I actually knew he was going to take it there.
Let's help
it. He's pathological.
Let's tear up these phone
you
lines.
Are an habitual.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go first to Drew in Connecticut. Hey, Drew.
Do we have a producer?
Hey, Drew.
Drew. He's on the phone.
Drew.
Hey,
Drew.
Drew. Drew. Drew.
All right, Drew's gone. Next is Jeff in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. Hi. How are ya?
Good, Jeff.
Wow, we're not,
Bezos.
Nice picture
Las
of
Vegas?
You with the CEO of Amazon.
Nice elbows you're rubbing.
But who was the other person in the picture?
The cocktail waitress.
Courtney. That was Courtney, a drop-dead gorgeous cocktail waitress.
Yes.
Frankly beautiful.
And she told you to drop dead.
And that picture really doesn't even do her justice. But, yeah, when you think that when Steve Wynn and Bob Kraft are doing that thing in Everett, right?
Kraft has nothing to do with it, to my knowledge.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, because when you think of Bezos, I guess there's some, like, Amazon convention. Like, his, if you take Steve Wynn and Bob Kraft's net worth combined to multiply it by six, then you get Bezos's at, I guess, $30 billion.
And right.
He took a liking to me. I was sort of talking to some of the girls at the bar and doing some, I hire telephone sales reps for my day job, so just it's called like a five question, like some pickup artist type nonsense.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, we end up hanging up for like 3 hours. It's great. And also, congratulations to the New England Patriots Twitter feed on surpassing the first NFL team over 1 million followers.
Yep. Fred Kirsch was actually the millionth follower.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I've been following them.
Fred was like the
since
third.
The beginning.
Fred was the third.
He was
following.
The first.
Yeah, and also props to Paul Perillo. That was a tremendous performance on the terrestrial radio yesterday.
Yep.
And again, props to Paul. There's no Boston scribe with the exception of Fred Kirsch, who has covered the beat longer than Paul Perillo, and that's a fact.
Not really.
Not.
We have guys that have been here since the 60s.
Who?
Ron Borges?
Consistently has covered only the New England Patriots.
Mark Farinella.
Farinella.
Glenn
Farley.
Farley.
Those guys, they've been around.
There's been some.
The Trail of Tears is not just Paul.
Right. Who's
Farinella? What? Well, reporter.
They're regional. Or they're
the local
regional.
Paper. Local regional.
Yeah,
papers.
It's actually damning me with faint praise. Most people have moved on to bigger and better things by now, so.
Yeah, well, you know,
it's kind of like Crash Davis.
Paul doesn't care for the compliment.
I don't care for it.
Paul's the AAA home run leader.
super quick shout-out to the PFW elite, of course, and Chester, my boy. Let's do a big shindig in San Diego. Jeff in Vegas, we're going to go out there. You guys are going to join us. We're going to do a massive pregame, and Justin Vegas is now committing to being there. Lock it in.
Okay, well,
lock
just it in. Do the Patriots tailgate groups. Just join them.
Well,
Chester is now the food part of coordinator.
Food and beverage coordinator.
Chester is in charge of food.
Yep. And beverage. Yep.
Are Andy and Paul getting cold feet? Or are they going to?
No, they're not going.
Fred won't let us go.
They have commitments.
Unacceptable.
I agree. Too bad.
Unacceptable.
On Sunday, big lunch from Jeff in Vegas. Sorry, I was busy this week at work, but Jeff in Vegas lunch should New England live.
All right.
Good job, Jeff.
Is he talking about himself in the third person now?
He is. Always does.
Lock it in.
Let's go to Neil in Montreal. Hey, Neil.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I was listening to you make a reference to the last Super Bowl the Patriots were in, and I guess my big concern about this upcoming game, which I really haven't heard discussed too much, is one of the players who's playing in that game for the Giants.
Ahmad Bradshaw.
And he scares me. He runs hard between the tackles, 5.1 average. And I don't know if I'm convinced, based on the Denver performance, that we now have a rush defense. So
I'm not.
This is
up right up Andy's alley.
This is my concern. So put me at rest. And the other area of concern is Luck's ability to scramble and how we'll handle that. So I'll get off the phone here. You guys answer, okay?
Okay, thanks Neil.
Well, Neil, you bring it up concerns. A great point, because the previous emailer that was intentional on his part to leave off Ahmad Bradshaw, who, yes, is averaging 5 yards a carry on the ground and I believe has 6 touchdowns through the air. They get their backs involved. We've talked about that. And I think it's a legitimate concern. The one thing I would say is Paul's thing. If they're going to run the ball, Brady might be scoring faster and sort of that mix there. Because Trent Richardson is actually not having a horrific year. He's actually a little bit better. So they have 2 backs that are better than anything the Broncos threw at you.
Yeah, and one of the things that Indy does well, and I don't know because I haven't seen enough of their games to watch the full drives. You know, you see them on Red Zone, you see here and there.
You're addicted to that, huh?
But they have I think they lead the league in time of possession, and they've obviously been able to possess the ball and hold it for long. They're scoring a lot, so they're obviously putting together long drives. I don't know if that's because they're running the ball a little bit more successfully. I would look at it from afar.
Certainly not because their defense is getting the ball back for them.
I would welcome them running the ball.
Right.
Because I think that's far less dangerous. Well, now, I would say the same thing. I think the Patriots can run the ball on Indianapolis because I think Indy's a smaller front. I think you could probably get Jonas Gray going a little bit in this game early on and keep Andrew Luck on the sideline. But again, if I'm Indy, I'd welcome that.
But see, I don't think they need to run the ball like you're insinuating. I think they need to run the ball so 2nd and 4. If you can get good first down plays, I'm not saying run, run, pass, run, 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 pass. I'm saying run, now I can do whatever the F I want because I own you.
Well, that's
kind of thing.
You know,
5.1. If he gets 5.1 yards,
yep,
your 2nd down is what the bleep do we do on defense with all these weapons that they can hit?
Much like Denver with Ronnie Hillman, that was number 5, 6, 7 on the list of things that you had to worry about. And he wasn't capable of really hurting you. Bradshaw is, because he's similarly going to be 5 or 6 on the list. Jamie Collins, going to be a big, big game for him, I think. And some of those other guys, they're going to have to watch Luck. I think Akeem Ayers will be involved in this a little bit. They're going to have to contain Luck in the pocket with a disciplined pass rush and make sure they don't let Bradshaw slip out. But I do agree with you, Andy, and that was I just did the 3 points for the website. First down, I think, is going to be huge in this game because for the Patriots, if you can run the ball on first down and get a 2nd and 4, like Andy just said, all Indy wants to do on defense is blitz to try to make you play faster than you want. It's hard to do that if it's 2nd and 3. It's hard to just sit there and roll the dice and blitz if you're getting run on all the time. So if they can stay out of long yarded situations, they can sort of mitigate what Indy wants to do defensively.
I'm also intrigued by that blitz thing.
Well,
I'm intrigued to see them blitzing.
I keep hearing the names Vontae Davis and Greg Toler as if they're saying it's Darrell Revis and Richard Sherman.
And Vontae Davis, I've always kind of liked.
He's good, not great.
But I still get back to the safeties. And we got this guy called Gronk in the middle of the field. I really liked. Yeah, first of all, someone needs to tell me what an M. What is it? Memmy? Mem?
A meme.
A meme?
Yeah.
What is that first?
It's kind of like a thing that everyone's talking about.
Okay, well, I don't know if this is a meme or not, but after the Broncos win, they were putting this thing out, which is from the Avengers, and it's Peyton Manning saying, "I have an army," and then it's Brady saying, "But I have
a Gronk."
Yeah. They have a Hulk. The Avengers have a Hulk, not an army.
Right.
And that's how I look at this. We have a Gronk. good luck with your blitzing. We got a Brady throwing to a Gronk. You lose every time.
Ted in Pittsburgh, a little caller on caller or emailer on caller crime. Is there something in the water in Georgia? Big Al needs to pull his big head out of his big ass. Did he really suggest if Brady is a bit banged up, he should sit versus Green Bay because it's basically an exhibition game?
Big Al taking a lot of heat for that comment.
If we have learned anything in the NFL, it's that every game counts, and the Patriots needs to win to get a bye. There's a real reason William Tecumseh Sherman burned Georgia to the ground so we could avoid asinine comments from the same man who suggested Brady should be benched for Tebow on the goal line. Big Al should do us a big favor and take a long walk off a short pier so a blood vessel doesn't pop in my head every time he calls in.
That was good use of big throughout that email.
Yeah, right? I mean, the Sherman part might have been a little uncalled for.
Yeah,
it's a good email.
Pull his big head out of his big head.
Do us a big favor.
Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee on the phone.
It was Al.
Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's up?
Hey, Andy, those things, I think you call it meme, whatever you're talking about, the pictures that you kind of can just make a picture and then write what you want.
Meme,
like,
right.
Extra pictures. Yeah, whatever they are.
But, well, I enjoyed that one. We got a Gronk.
Yeah,
big surprise, Andy. You enjoyed that one. Mm. Was he naked?
Your mother was naked.
That I was talking about.
Saint.
The woman's a saint. She'd kick your ass.
Remember, y'all, like last time against the Broncos, you talked about like what the stars win the game, so to speak. Do you feel this same way with this game coming up? You know, will the Hiltons win the game, or will you have like somebody, because they have weapons, but they, you know, some of them like a Nick, something like that, that could, I don't know if he can make plays really anymore or not, but do you all fear the guys that really don't make the plays for the Colts?
Yes. I fear the depth of their offense. I think they have weapons that could stretch this defense, and we'll see how this, you know, we've been praising Patrick Chung. You know, Patrick Chung, are you going to be good? You know, Devin McCourty, are you going
to
be good?
And you add in Jamie Luck's Collins. Ability to run.
Right, yeah. And extend plays. Right. I'm a little worried about the depth more than the superstars. I think, you know, Revis will probably handle T.Y. Hilton or Ty, as Fred likes to call him. But
Ty Cobb.
The depth worries me a little bit.
Thanks for the call.
What's his name?
T.Y.?
I forget. I think we looked that up last year.
I think we did, but, you know.
Yeah, last year.
In one, out the other.
Well, I mean, along those lines, Melvin was talking about how we thought that the Stars would decide the Denver game, and I have to be honest, that was 2 weeks ago. I have no idea. I mean, I'm sure I said it. I don't know.
Let's go to Antoine. I just dropped Antoine in Jersey City. Sorry about that. I don't know. Let's go to Dana in Connecticut. Call back,
call
Antoine.
Back because, well, he can't call back because Kevin's
went to get
wandering
food
around
somewhere.
Somewhere.
Dana, what's going on?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Listen, I just want to be the first one on record to say, and I've been saying this for 3 weeks, and I've been a little tardy with it, but Jonas Gray is going to be the it factor for this team moving down the road. I think
factor.
No, you're way behind Fred Kirsch.
Don't be playing Fred's side of the street.
Fred Kirsch.
He's got him as a 1,000-yard rusher in just seven games.
I stand corrected, Fred. I didn't hear you say that, but I think he's going to have a big game this week. I think he's flying under the radar. He hasn't gotten any holes yet. The offensive line hasn't gotten in sync with him, and he's not a bounce-out runner. But when the hole's there, he blasts it, and I think he's really going to gain some. I'd like to see him take some improvising and move on his own and use some of his skill set because he's a big back, and I like his game.
Well, we talked about that. At this point, you know, I think he's afraid to improvise a little bit because he doesn't want to lose the opportunities he has.
And I don't even know if he can.
But
I think he's not doing it because he's not.
Dana, I'm with you. I think he hits that hole pretty hard.
He's a powerful runner. He's physical. He's intense. He doesn't fumble, and he's got a lot more quickness than he's, you know, for his size. He can move.
I agree.
And I agree. He does. I think he's playing scared a little bit. He's trying. He wants to play by the book, but he just needs that 130-yard game and realize that he can make a move outside of the box and make it happen because he has the skill set to do it.
I'm with you.
Well, this is the defense to do it against if it's going to happen. This is a smaller front that doesn't. I think you can if the game doesn't get out of control. I think the only reason why their numbers look as good as they do defensively is because generally their offense has gotten a big lead for them. The other team has to be one-dimensional.
Correct. I
think
agree.
If the Patriots' offense plays the way it's capable of, you should be able to rack up a lot of carries. And if he doesn't, I don't know how we have this scouting report on a guy who's never played.
I don't
know. You know, how do we know he doesn't fumble? How do we know he's capable of this?
I watched him at Notre Dame. He's not a fumbler. He really isn't, Paul. I mean, I've been watching him his whole career.
I'm just judging on as a pro.
Dana, why do you think that he hasn't had really the opportunity up until now in the pros?
Well, I think he's behind Ridley. Obviously Bolton's in the doghouse besides.
No, but I'm before the Patriots, right?
Well,
I really can't answer that. It can't be his work ethic because they love him. I read up, they love his practice ethic. I don't know. I'm not sure. I just think, they're slow to move when it comes to RBs, I mean, let's face it. I mean, going all the way back to Edwards, I mean, it took a while for these guys to get Bill's confidence and say, okay, you're my guy.
Yeah.
That's just my thought. But I think he had 86 yards against the Bears. I know it was the Bears. Didn't have anything last week, but I think this week he's going to go over 100.
I think you have a chance to be right this week, Dana, because I think that the Colts' run defense is suspect.
And this is a good game for him to do it. Now, next week, Detroit, that's another matter. I don't want to get
I don't think it'll be the same on that
game. No, I don't either. That defense is tough. But, yeah, thanks for the call, guys. But just watch Jonas Gray. I'm a big Jonas Gray fan.
Okay, Dana, right. I hope you're
you
right.
You and Fred.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm not overly familiar with all his carries at Notre Dame. I'm just, what does he have for career carries? I mean, are we looking at 25, 30?
Yeah, it's not minimal. Much. Well, he's got whatever he has.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. No, it's two games and, whatever.
So, I just don't know how we can make these assertions about what he is.
And he wasn't great in the preseason. He doesn't even have that to fall back on where, he showed flashes in the preseason. I thought he flashed nothing in the preseason.
You didn't see what you guys
I know. I did not see what you
sitting
see.
In your big chairs watching in the Bob's Furniture place.
So do us all a big favor and get out of the big
I didn't
chair.
Even have to watch the game.
Shut your big mouth.
Oh, no. We stare at that monitor. Didn't you remember, Paul, just staring down that monitor?
Yeah, glazed eyes. All right. Antoine's back from Jersey City. Sorry about that, Antoine. Thanks for calling back.
It's okay. I actually have a bone to pick with Andy.
Oh. Doesn't everyone?
Yes, we all do.
A bone to pick is more so like a clarification. Because I heard yesterday's show that you kind of called out the Gronk doubters, the people that kind of doubted him that he wasn't going to be able to rebound from the injury.
Was that you?
I'm just gonna speak on why I kind of doubted him in a sense, and I kind of did doubt him, but I was just going off of just the injury itself and what my experience was going through that same particular type of injury, and it was kind of wrong for me to do because everybody's recovery from the injury is different.
Yep.
But I was just going off of what I went through.
But it's a traditional injury at this point, and whatever the slow recovery might be. ACL is not a debilitating, career-threatening injury of any sort in this day and age. It's almost to the point where guys come back and you say, I forgot he even tore his ACL last November, last October. Now, some guys are slow. Maybe Dominique Easley might be a guy that takes a while, whatever. There are examples. But you weren't alone. There were a lot of people that were just flat-out doubting him, didn't think he was going to be anywhere near himself this year. And those people don't even bother me as much as the people that were lumping the three injuries together and saying, he'll never be healthy, get rid of him, can we cut him now, should we cut him now? Like, that was just asinine, ridiculous, faithless idiocy.
Mm. Wow. You put that seed in everyone's head, Andy.
I thought he would take a little longer to get back to greatness.
No, not just because of this injury, but you put that seed in a while ago saying, is this the kind of guy that can have a long career because of how he plays?
And I still have those doubts, but those are wear and tear.
I understand.
Injuries, not acute, simple ACLs and what should have been a simple broken arm probably.
Right. When you look at the individual injuries, it's not because of the way he
played. I thought he would have more, an AC separation because he took a couple big hits, a sore back because he took a couple big hits.
Right.
And those things would start to pile up and he couldn't plow through like he does. Not, a guy's going to hit his knee, tears an ACL. That happens to anybody.
I'm going to wade into this and probably regret it.
Yep, because I'm going to yell at you. I'm going to jump down your throat so freaking fast like I'm a pimpity.
There's nothing like getting yelled at by Andy to make a bright and cheery Thursday afternoon. I was one that questioned whether or not Gronk could stay healthy.
But you didn't want to cut him and get rid of him.
No.
These people.
No, and I don't think a lot of people wanted to cut him.
There were a lot.
Maybe there were some.
That straw man over there, he wanted to.
No, but I'll go get the ass PFWs that
not,
I answered.
It's not that
they're
I was
on the
worried,
record.
It's not that I was worried about him getting hit in the knee and tearing the ACL again. It was more the wear and tear that you just talked about. And I do look at him as, the arm get broken a couple of times. The infection happened. That's weakened the arm.
The back.
Now the knee. He starts off with the back. He had another back surgery. they're piling up, and I don't
and
look at it.
True.
I don't look at it any differently than I look at Danny Amendola, but, who everybody told me he's not injury prone. Why should we just automatically assume he's going to? And no, I don't know for certain that he's going to get hurt again, but the pattern here is that he's a guy who gets hurt a lot. And Amendola came and immediately got hurt. And it's different because you have a love affair with the tight end.
It's different
and
because
that's fine. If you pick a guy, that's a good guy to pick it for.
Two of three injuries for Gronk were created by specific blows from defenders. Danny Amendola makes a cut and blows a groin. He dives for a ball and breaks a shoulder or a collarbone, whatever the hell it was. He's brittle.
Again,
Gronk is a tank that occasionally takes on some sniper fire. There is a major difference.
I told you I would regret
it's
waiting.
Ridiculous.
I actually have one more thing, and this is looking towards the next game when we play the Lions. I really wanted to, and I know we're focusing on the Colts right now, but I really want to ask this question. How do you think we're going to cover Calvin Johnson? Do we have just double team him? Because that's one player in the next couple of games I do fear of, and I do think that he can burn us for a good chunk of change.
Sure, he might score a touchdown.
I got to tell you, I would love to see that. But
do you remember our conversation upstairs about you can be a homer and be funny?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wait, who's a homer and not funny?
Other guys.
Thanks, Antoine.
I would love to see the Revis-Calvin Johnson matchup. And I'm not totally a scared, as they like to say.
Well, I'll tell you what I would be scared of in that game if you did that. Is the Brown or Golden Tate matchup.
That's true. Did you know he leads the league in catches?
Yeah, he's had a great year.
Golden Tate?
Yeah.
All right, we got to take
apparently
a break.
Eric didn't.
I need to bug out. Picture coming up at the end of the. That's an Army term, right?
How would you know? Because I'd love to see you in boot camp.
Imagine when he did that pec thing in boot camp. He impressed them all.
Andy thinks I always look like this.
No, I know. He's the only one that's in shape.
Right.
You know?
No, but you were never like
a hardcore guy. A workout elitist.
You played tennis and you hung out at the tennis club in the summer.
You and your Zubas and your tank top and your little
wrist.
You've been
soft
your little
whole
wrist
life.
Supports for when you do your curls.
You were brought up wealthy. You hung out on resorts
right,
on the Cape.
Let's take a break, Kevin. We'll be right back.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
Tim in Westerly's writing in on the... not the Ace Ticket Hotline. He's writing in on the... We need a sponsor for the email inbox, don't you think? Oh, shut up,
I'm just
you.
Booing you as the host.
I know what you're doing, a-hole.
Oh, shut up, you.
Tim from Westerly, Rhode Island says, great show as always. One of the few times I get to listen live.
Was.
I listened to Tuesday's show yesterday afternoon and heard Andy get to the bottom, quote-unquote, of the Brian Stork butt-wiping episode. When I watched the interview with Tom Brady on All Access, all I could think of was, that's what Andy saw happening last summer. I'm very hopeful of Sunday's game and agree with the previous caller that Jonas Gray, or at least the running game, will be the difference. Can't wait for the Patriots tailgate party in San Diego. Thanks for all the great radio talk.
Wait a minute. Now we're saying Jonas Gray is going to be the difference in victory in Indy?
Or at least the running game,
he said. Well, what is the running game? So suddenly Shane Vereen out of some spread sets is gonna. What do people? Why can't you just say that Gronk and Brady are going to be the difference?
Because people overthink things.
They do, and
they really do.
It kind of perturbs me that I take all this heat for praising Gronk, you know, deifying Gronk, and I got Fred and Neil deifying Jonas Gray, like. All he needs is one of those 130 games under his belt, and then he'll be rolling. And well, who is Jonas Gray? Who says Jonas Gray can? What did he say? He needs to ad lib a little, or
listen,
freelance
maybe,
a little.
Maybe that'll happen, and maybe listen,
I think if he freelances, he's going to be tackled for 3 yard
but
losses.
But there are running backs that have come from inauspicious beginnings and had good careers. Maybe this is the next one of those. I'm with you in the preseason. I didn't see a burst. I see a big guy that can run the ball between the tackles and plows forward. He moves the pile. I haven't seen a quick guy who hits the hole really quick and fast and has the capability of bouncing outside for big play. I haven't seen that. You know, maybe he has it. Maybe we just haven't seen it yet.
There's such a small sample size.
By the way, Paul,
just so we, you know, give you adequate warning here, one of your besties is coming in to tape an interview with John Rook, so let's keep it clean for the next 5 minutes.
TB?
No. Rotney.
Oh. Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
One of our listeners
slumming it and doing something for us.
Stepped up to the plate with,
I have to get rid of this pizza first, otherwise he'll take a crack at me.
Asking us about the T.Y. Hilton name. T.Y. He looked it up. He says, according to Wiki, I have no idea why he goes by T.Y. Tomorrow's his 25th, so I hope Revis can give him an island as a birthday present. Eugene Marquise Hilton. Born November 14th, 1989.
Obviously.
Eugene. So T.Y.
Marquise.
T.Y. does he call himself that?
There must be a story to it then.
Yeah, there's got to be.
Ha ha Clinton Dix.
Well, but that wasn't his name. Hashan or something, yeah. Right? So the ha was part of the name. There's no T or Y in the Eugene Marquise.
I'm sure there's a story. I bet it involves his grandmother. Seems like it always involves a grandmother.
Well, that was Clinton Dix was his grandmother.
She called him ha.
It's Hasim.
No, I know.
And his grandmother's the one that called him.
And I feel like it always involves a grandmother.
I just said I had to get my pizza ready before Rodney came in and called me fat.
What's up, Paul Perillo? We got to play that. We got to get that clip out, or maybe he can do it live for us. All right. In the meantime, let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Denzel is in New York. What's up, Denzel?
How you guys doing?
What's up?
Love the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't think that Jonas Gray, I've been listening, I don't think that Jonas Gray really will make the difference. I still stick more with Tom and Gronk in the passing game. But I think that they need to utilize the weapons more, bring Tim Wright in more, and Aaron Dobson. Haven't seen him much. What do you guys think?
Dobson just needs to get active and, you know, on the field.
Yeah, I've lost all hope for him.
I have too, because they just don't really seem to have much interest in him being a factor.
Yeah, and Tim Wright's been somewhat involved. I'm not expecting him to be, you know, as big a part as Hernandez was in the two tight end offense. But I think he's made contributions.
He's going to have a game at some point where you say, oh yeah, there was his game.
He's exceeded my expectations.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I think
Field Yates a little disappointed.
He's not, you know, maybe next year with the whole year of, you know, experience in the system and all that stuff, he can be a more legitimate two tight end threat with Gronk. But I think he's exceeded expectations, in my opinion. I think he's been good. When the ball's gotten thrown to him, he's caught it.
Did he get open? Because that's really the key. Get
he's
open and
open.
Catch the ball.
Yeah, he's been open. All right. Anything else, Denzel?
And then, also, I've seen that they worked out a running back that spent a little time in September with Indianapolis. Any chance they sign him, you guys think?
I wouldn't think so.
No, especially not at this point.
I think that's one of those update your list type workouts.
Yeah.
They've done a lot of it lately. I was a little intrigued when one of the workout sessions involved either two or three long snappers with the Danny Akins situation that I think is at times tenuous.
Yeah, it's.
But yeah, no, I don't think. And if they add a running back, I think it'd be a veteran. They'd be looking to add somebody, you know,
who can contribute.
We've said it a million times. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I don't know if he's still rehabbing or not or healthy. But I don't think they want to bring in another young, unproven type.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, Denzel. Let's go to Memphis now, where Trey, our boy Trey, is on the line again. What's up, Trey?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
All right, guys. Man, I'm looking at this game. I think that this feels like a Danny Amendola sighting to me, just a little bit. I think he's going to make some big third down plays, and I think he's going to help. He's going to be like one of those unsung heroes, man, this weekend. You go back and look at it, and I was talking to a couple of my friends, man, and they brought up some points, too. He's kind of like a domer. You know, you go back and look at a lot of his games, he's one of those guys. He plays better in the dome for some reason. I don't know if he's one of those finesse guys or whatever. I think he make plays in the dome, man. I mean, have you guys ever paid attention to some of his games in the past?
Well, I mean, obviously in St. Louis, he was in a dome in the whatever that's called, Trans World Dome. But I mean, his Is it not called the Trans World Dome anymore?
I don't think so.
Oh no, Edward Jones.
Edward Jones Dome.
Right. It was the Trans.
It
was.
Oh no, I think you're right. It went, like,
might have been the
probably
first
the last time I was.
Maybe
there.
In 1996 it was that.
And they give out custard at halftime. They give out frozen custard at halftime. But
do they really?
Yeah, it's yummy. I don't. I mean, he had games here last year. You know, in Buffalo. That's not even though it was early in the year. Miami. I don't
know. It's not a dome. I mean, but I just feel like, you know, the Colts are gonna, they're gonna try to take away Gronk. I don't know if they're not gonna succeed. I mean, but you know, I just feel like on, you know, some plays that, you know, they don't really pay as much attention to, you know, the other guys in the spread sets, and I just feel like, you know, Danny Amendola's gonna come up big, and I feel like Shane Vereen is gonna cause a lot of problems too.
I'm with you on Vereen. I think this could be a good Vereen game.
Yeah.
I'm hoping this is the one. You know, I if you've listened, Trey, you know I've been a little down on him lately, disappointed in his consistency.
Yeah, I mean, you should be.
Thank you.
You should be.
You preach it, Trey.
You should be, because he's been a disappointment, man, like with his hands. I don't know.
I like you, Trey.
If his hands are stuck up his butt right now, but I think
wait,
something's
what?
Going on, man, with his hands, man.
Thank you, Trey,
wow.
Because I
and
feel
I'm
like
I'm going to say this too, guys. Uh-oh.
Crazy roll.
He's on a roll. Game, these kickers are going to play a very important part, and I feel that, man, one of these kickers are going to miss a big kick, man.
Ooh.
That's a turning point, too.
Something really? That hasn't happened this season. Neither kicker has really missed
well,
a kick.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I don't count.
I know.
Maybe I like
I
Gostkowski, but I ignore that miss because of Danny Aiken. That's why they worked out long snappers. Adam hasn't missed.
Somebody's going to go for a long kick, guys. Somebody's going to go for a 55-plus in this game, and I think you know, we're going to – I think somebody's going to miss a big kick coming up going into halftime, and that's going to be a momentum shift, man. I think it is.
All right, Trey.
All right.
Think it is.
We've got your mark down. We've got the tape mark.
Just looking up Amendola from last year's game by game. The Atlanta game he was inactive for, so he didn't get to play in the dome. He did play in Houston, which is indoors.
Indoors,
five, it's a moist dome. Yeah.
5 for 54 in that game. So that was actually one of his better games. Of the season last year, you know, and obviously he played indoors in St. Louis. I'm not going to go game by game to all the games.
Thank you.
Just it did stick out at me. Week 2 of 2012, he had 15 for 160 in a home game.
See? He's good in domes.
And a touchdown.
Ted Sarandis would have gotten an hour and a half out of that.
Yeah,
now we'll go to week 4.
He would have gone to every single game that he played at home with St. Louis. But two games that were indoors last year, one he didn't play, the other one he had 5 for 54 or whatever I said against Houston.
Do you think he could be a wild card this week?
I think that he has been a little bit more noticeable offensively in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, a wild card would require him to do,
I don't know, score. Have some, you know,
7 for 90
and
if
a touchdown.
He takes a
that kick, would be a wild card. I don't think that will happen.
Okay. What if he? What
but
if
a
he
touchdown
kickoffs,
to me is
you know, kickoffs. He
to like
be.
The 40 or the.
If they give them, he could give them a little boost there. He's had
maybe
mild flashes.
Yeah,
you know, hasn't had anything overly great. But.
Yeah, I don't expect him to have, you know, more than 5 catches in the game. Now he could catch 3 for 30 yards and a touchdown. You know, like Tim Wright. You know, doesn't have a lot of catches, but
yeah.
The few that he's had
not
have been touchdowns.
Card. Not a wild card.
Right. I don't count that as a wild card.
I like reading these. First-time emailer in the subject line. And
I do enjoy that.
And you'll like this too, Andy. Hello.
A woman? Woman?
No. I don't think so.
Nudity?
Breasticles?
Wow.
Sorry.
It says, hello. I am from Ghana and am studying for my PhD at
Ghana University.
Tufts.
Oh.
I'm pointing right to Andy. And he looks at me like,
well,
I thought you were going with the moronic, so I went Ghana University.
Well, I was thinking, like, I was trying to think of Ghana
of
jokes.
University?
Not gonna do it.
Okay. That's what you were looking
don't,
for?
Don't give me that scoffing look anymore.
Gonna get Ebola.
Why are you laughing about Ebola?
It's funny.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it kind of is.
It's a little
kind
of
silly.
It's a South Park episode waiting to happen, right?
It'll happen.
I mean, they've had
South
the bird
Park,
flu, which that one you cured with Doritos and Sprite. They've had AIDS. That one you cured with money. They're going to have an Ebola one.
They will. Anyway.
Maybe the tree-hugging whack job from Maine will be in it. The nurse.
The nursery.
The a-hole nurse.
Be sequestered.
Oh. Anyway, this person is named Saki. S-A-C-K-E-Y.
He's gonna sacky up and get his degree.
Anyway.
He's a jumbo sacky.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Jumbo
I see
sacky.
What you did there.
I've come to love American football, and the Patriots are my team. I used to get irritated by the style of journalism displayed on WEEI and 98.5 until I discovered your show and podcast.
Now you realize they're all like that. Now you realize they're all like that.
This is what you prefer?
I love the factual and interesting nature of your show. Keep it up.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Saki.
From one jumbo to another,
and thank
good
you
luck.
For writing in for the first time.
What was he going
yes.
for?
Make a
just
habit
PhD.
Of it.
PhD.
It didn't
say
a stranger.
In what, but...
I was on the Tufts campus recently.
Giving a little motivational speech to the old team.
No.
Made me feel really old. No. This was a class.
Oh.
But made me feel really old.
Do you do what I do and try to discourage them from getting into the business?
Well, a little bit. I mean, I asked them questions. And
why
was,
do you want to do this?
It's a business of sport class, so they're already sort of interested in business. They right. want to be GMs and things of that nature.
Yeah,
I
it's
think.
A little bit of a different level, really, for yeah. us to be talking about because we don't know Terrence much about the business commercial. World.
No.
Okay, I think we probably owe Fred Kirsch a little bit of an apology based on this email.
Nope.
Because Sean in Vancouver has dug up some information about T.Y. Hilton and says his given name, Eugene, as we found out earlier, was called Little Ty when he was younger after his father Tyrone, and it eventually became T.Y. So when Fred calls him Ty Hilton, he's not that far off.
But I do believe it's T period Y period.
Oh, it, no, is. It is. Right? It is. But I'm saying he's not that far off. We were kind of scoffing, thinking that he was just combining the two things. They
I'm
actually took
scoffing.
The name and extracted.
Could have been the younger
it is,
Hilton.
It is different.
The younger? Hilton the younger. The I like younger. What you did there. I like what you did there, Andy. Thank you.
Eric means a lot.
I know. It really does.
Almost as much as Andy telling me I did a good job
yeah.
on the hub yesterday.
Oh, you were dominant. I mean, you owned that hour like you have yet to own previously.
That's what we do every week.
I know. I don't listen that often.
I know. I actually was wondering how you heard that yesterday.
Well, I had to pick the kids up. Jackson was a little sick, so I might have left a little earlier.
Nick from Illinois writes in, guys, not sure which of you asked for this, but I remember someone talking about wanting to hear from a team that lost but said they had a great week of practice. Well, I heard it. After the blowout loss to the Packers, the Bears coach had such gems as, we've had very good practices, unquote. I think the locker room is in a good place right now, unquote. And I am confident in Mel Tucker's ability to coordinate a defense, unquote.
See, again, it's why I can't be an owner. If I heard that, I would have walked right down the stairs to the press conference room, peeled the hat off his head, and said, get the bleep out.
So there you have it. Apparently the Bears rocked the practice field, just not the games. I also have to call out Big Al for his
Big Al taking a
questionable opinions. Don't play Brady for the Packers game because it's basically preseason, and sit Brady in the red area and put Tebow in because he's better. Just stunning. I think he actually may hate Brady more than Paul does. Anyway, keep up the great shows.
That was well played there by him.
It was.
Just a quick update. Inside the NFL was on in the background while we were playing, and Ed Reed took the Colts.
Ed Reed took the
Sims and
I've seen some
somebody
people,
else took the
I've seen some
Patriots.
People give the Colts a chance in this game.
Ed Reed does.
Yeah. I've seen some. I think John Buchagrass on ESPN
a little different, though,
picked the Colts today.
You know, Chuck Pagano. Raven.
Oh, yeah. There's a connection there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's like Brewski picking the game.
He loves Bill, too, though.
Maybe he doesn't, though.
All right, back on the Ace Ticket Hotline, your friend Justin in Virginia is here. What's up, Justin?
Just in time.
What's going on, guys? I'm really pumped about this game.
Should be.
I'm pumped about this game, too.
Huh?
Night
I'm
games
pumped,
on
I'm
the
pumped
road.
Up
I'm
about this
really
game,
about
too.
Night games on the road. That's a long day.
It sucks for you. I'm looking forward to
it. That is true. The fact that it's a night game does... Yeah. Take a little of the luster off.
No, that's get you the bright lights all day. Everybody's waiting for
You're
Sunday night. That's a possibility.
But I don't got much means
yeah,
to worry
okay.
against.
What'd you get a bad batch today?
Just tell them.
But I don't have much to worry about with the Colts because to me, everything they have good, we have better, except for running back. Their defense is good, but they don't got a Revis. Their offense is good, but they don't got a Gronk. And Andrew Luck's no Brady. But I'm not worrying much about this game. Thanks, you guys.
All right, thanks, Justin.
Oh,
not
okay.
sure I agree on the receivers.
Rushing us off there.
No, I think they have a better receiving core. Patriots don't have a Gronk, that's for sure. But
we got
I think
an
that,
army.
I think they have a better group of receivers, though.
We should get that as a clip. And
that
just
clip
dub
just
in Gronk,
Gronk
instead of Hulk.
Yeah, that's not bad.
If we had a producer,
if we did,
that would be a good idea.
We did. We have another first-time emailer. This is Mason. Sean from New Mexico, first-time emailer.
Just telling you, south of the Mason-Dixon line.
No, I gave out his last name just there. I have a question for Andy. Is Revis still the best corner in football, and is he going to be effective at shutting down T.Y. Hilton?
Well, the question is he going to be asked to shut down T.Y. Hilton?
That is a good question.
I think this is going to be another – I think you're in a stretch here of Bears game, Broncos game, this game. A lot of zone, a lot of flooding, and I think that's
sticking
probably –
sticking to a side?
On some level, there might be some mixing of that up a little bit that we've seen even in those previous games. I don't know. I think if you match up, you give Luck the chance to find the bad matchup, and then he can run a little bit. If you get, you know, you get Jamie Collins turning and running with either Bradshaw or one of the tight ends, and all of a sudden Luck's running right behind him. Remember, what was that game where that happened? They ran some man. I want to say it was the man who just taped an interview with
Rodney.
With John Rook, Rodney Harrison, was literally running down the field, and the quarterback was running behind him because he was covering a tight end man-to-man.
I can't recall.
And that happens. I mean, that can happen. And so I don't think you're going to see matchups. As far as him being the best, I don't know. I think he's had a good year, not a great year. But I haven't watched every game from Richard Sherman or Peterson or, you know, whoever else you want to throw in the mix there. The Colts fans might want to throw in Vontae Davis. You know, Joe Hayden.
I'm just not willing to do that.
I'm not either. I think he's had a good year. Not great. And because it's not great, I can't defend it. If he had been better, I might have just said, you can't play better than I saw him play. But he hasn't played at that level.
Yeah. And he has been, I think, getting better, too. He looks more and more comfortable. And he is definitely one of those guys that seems like when there's a specific challenge up, it garners a little bit more of his attention.
Yeah. Kind of like I said, I wouldn't mind seeing Revis on Calvin Johnson. I think Revis wouldn't mind seeing Revis on Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, I'll tell
That's
you.
One of those press release ones where, you know, held Calvin Johnson to one catch for 7 yards in man coverage. You know, we don't really do that, but if you were with the Jets and some of these other teams like to fluff
that
stuff up.
Well, that's because we don't do man coverage.
We also don't have fun.
Right, the coach doesn't do it. You know, we do a lot of things.
Right. Sean ends his email. Also, can we get a larger dose of Paul?
No.
Thanks, guys. Have an awesome day. All right. First time, a lot of first time emailers today on the
first
show.
First time any emailer has ever said that.
No, second time.
Oh, come on.
Who was the other one?
More Paul or less Andy.
That's true.
and he held his hand up like he was massaging some grapes.
Yeah. Thank you, Sean.
I like a good meatball.
All right. Let's get a dose of some real inspiration now from our man who's always enthused,
Chester.
Always up on it, Andrew in Buffalo.
Oh.
Give us some inspiration.
What's
Andrew.
Up, Andrew?
Ain't nothing. I'm going out tonight to Dust with my friends. One of them is a Bills fan, so be watching the game to him when they face Miami. And I'm not a Bills fan, but I hope they pound Miami. I don't like their Tannehill. but I am looking forward to the game on Sunday. I just want to know what you guys think. You know, everybody was saying, like, how, you know, we took out the Broncos and we was getting pressure on Manny, but I feel like these next two quarterbacks coming up, they can run out the pocket and cause you problems, you know, making plays with their legs.
That's
true.
I
want to know, with Chandler Jones being out, do you think we can do enough to contain him and still get good pressure?
Yes. Well, no. I was answering too soon. I don't think they're going to get great pressure. I think they'll contain him. I think that's going to be their plan, is not necessarily to get great pressure, but to contain him.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a big element of this game. Now, I've said that in the past about certain guys, and it has been. Cam Newton, I never thought they would have allowed him to run the way he did last year in Carolina. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't think Cam Newton's a good runner, but I thought exactly what Andy just said, the rush lanes will be disciplined, they'll contain him, they won't let him escape from the pocket. And I thought it was easier with a guy like that who's not really good at throwing from the pocket.
Right.
This guy is good at throwing from the pocket, and if you give him the lanes, he can run.
But I think a lot of the pressure will be limited to, okay, your normal pressures, Ninkovic kind of a controlled rush setting, and then some of these Collins airs, little delayed stunts or blitzes that we've seen. Even some of it might be man coverage. You know, if you have Jamie Collins manned up with Ahmad Bradshaw and he stays in the block, well, now Jamie Collins is coming. And it's sort of a on-the-fly, delayed blitz type thing based on what unfolds on the play. I think you'll see some of that, but more so I think they're going to be just trying to keep him in the pocket, flood the zones. He makes some mistakes, and we'll take advantage.
I agree.
That's good. Yeah, hopefully they can keep that up. What's going on with Frey? He off today?
today?
No, he had a meeting or something.
High level meeting.
Yeah, he was in the first hour of the show.
Passed away in his sleep last night.
The heart just couldn't pump the blood to the shoulders anymore. You're just a bad person. You're a miserable person. You really are.
Well, enjoy the Thursday night game.
Yeah, get Andrew. Some wings while you're in Buffalo.
He's from Buffalo.
No, I know. That's what I mean. So what?
The only good thing about it.
What? Now, are you in downtown Buffalo? Where are you going tonight?
I live in North Tonawanda, but I'm going in Chickawaga, on Dick Road.
Chicky Bow Bow. Yeah, Chickawaga. I think that's the way to go.
Hey, have you ever been to that, the Pearl Street place, the Pearl Street Grill and Brewery?
I've been there, but I haven't like hung out there a lot. I don't really be downtown a lot.
Oh, okay.
Only when I was going to school to ECC City. That was about it.
Okay. Well, if you're in the city, that's a good place to catch a game. And it's right near the what's the arena, the hockey arena?
HBSC or HSBC?
Yeah,
it's like a block or two away from there. It's a hopping place.
Where's your favorite wing place?
I don't really go out much, actually. I usually just watch everything at home, or I have my friends come over here, but we just decided that, you know, we want to eat out. We want some wings. We hungry.
Me too, actually. Can you bring some by?
Have a couple dozen for me, Andrew.
Have a good time tonight.
All right, you too.
Don't poop your pants in the elevator like I've done in Buffalo.
Man. Mm. You need those Brian Stork things.
The Adams mark.
Did you have to leave it in the elevator?
It was Andy's mark.
Yeah, I know, right? Joe in Michigan is writing in. We've had a few first-time emailers already in this half hour. This email is full of firsts. He says, I'm very excited about this game in Indy. Got two tickets from a lady I used to work with who's a Colts season ticket holder. It'll be my first Patriots game, and I'll be taking my fiance to her first football game.
Nice.
My prediction for the score is Patriots 37, Colts 34. Patriots will jump out to a bit lead, and the Colts will storm back.
Big.
Sorry.
Kirsch, come on.
I know, seriously. That was a Kirsch moment. That was poor to me, too.
And that prediction is way off. It's going to be 38-34, not 37-34.
And the Colts will storm back late, but Gostkowski will nail it from 45 yards for the last second to win and spoil the Colts' comeback hopes.
It's going to be 34-34?
Yeah, apparently. And then Gostkowski to win it with a long one.
That would be a nice step in the Luck Brady 3-4 rivalry that I'm trying to brew up here.
Yeah.
Luck be a Brady.
See what you did there?
Or luck beat a Brady.
See what you did there? This is Chanel from the Bronx. Don't know.
Congratulations, by the way.
I just
to the
saw
last
your
guy.
Play that you were talking about with the Pittsburgh guy finally jumping over the pile
and him flipping him.
I'm seeing the after effect.
Not surprising that started a fight.
But that was well done by Mangold.
Oh, I want to see that again. I didn't get to see it the first time. I only heard Andy talking about it. Anyway,
congratulations to that.
Yeah,
guy.
Congratulations. Yes. First Patriots game, first game for the fiance.
That'd be pretty cool if the game unfolded like that,
I mean,
too.
You listen to this show, and she said yes. That's a bit of a long shot.
Yeah, because it kind of means you needed to get a little bit of a life.
Right.
And, you know, she still said yes.
Exactly.
Chanel from the Bronx can't wait till Sunday, so Brady and company can go into Indy, show them who's boss. All respect to Luck and T.Y. Hilton. They're doing great, but they aren't Gronk and Brady. Keep up the good work, guys. Best football show, always entertaining. Oh, hey, Eric, I don't hate you, LOL.
Very sincere.
I don't hate you, LOL.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that...
I'm not convinced too much there, Chanel.
I just give you credit for reading it, Eric. Well done.
That was number 5 email from Chanel, anyway.
Oh, Chanel.
I see what you did
there. You see what I did there, right?
Yeah. Chanel.
Tony from Doesn't Say Where. Hey,
was
guys.
That a perfume?
Chanel number 5, one of the most famous perfumes of all time.
I don't wear perfume.
You might have heard of it.
I wasn't born to know anything. I don't know anything that happened before.
Never saw Babe Ruth play, but I might have heard of him.
Yeah. Good Lord. Tony from Doesn't Say Where. Guys,
I don't actually like perfume.
It wasn't at the American Revolution, but I understood
You heard of it?
But I don't like perfume, so I don't even... Not a
Your wife doesn't wear any fragrances?
Occasionally, I don't buy it for her because I don't like perfume. If I buy something
but
for her...
But does she like it?
I think she does.
A peek inside the soul of a man. I don't like it, so I don't buy it for her.
Well, I'm the one who has to smell it.
Well, she is the one that wears it.
But does she like it?
I think she does. But if I buy something, I usually buy like a fruit or a vanilla-based
item.
Something
that you like.
Yes.
Yeah, something he wants
fruity
to
fruity or vanilla. Easy. It's my wife.
Well, no, fragrance, you idiot.
That's ridiculous.
It smells like chicken.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Keep on licking.
Fred, I apologize.
a thousand times to you. Anyway, Tony's from Doesn't Say Where and says, one of you guys said this was an Edelman game.
I think it could be an Edelman game.
That's Paul.
Yeah, Darius Butler. I don't have a lot of respect for him.
Okay.
We're
basing our picks on like the crappy defensive back that used to play for the Patriots on the other side.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is this. I could picture a scenario in which they double team Gronk with linebackers and safeties. Maybe LeRon Landry gets a little more playing time. He's a big, strong guy. We all know he's a juicer, right? Maybe they double team him. You're not going to shut him down, but maybe you contain him a little bit more than he's been contained lately.
But didn't he get bitch slapped? Wasn't he? Didn't they try to physical him up with Julius Thomas?
I don't recall.
Pretty sure they did, and he tried to get hands on him, and Julius Thomas blew by him.
Yeah, it could. Well, it could be. Yeah, I don't think there's. I think you double Gronk. They keep saying that these two outside guys. I already talked about them. Mike Haynes and Lester Hayes. They're on the outside, Vontae Davis and Greg Toler, and they blitz.
I thought Lester Hayes was Brandon Browner.
Right. So that to me leaves a guy like Darius Butler or another guy that I'm not overly familiar with because that's as far as I go on their cornerback depth chart. I'm not gonna try to make up a fourth name. I don't know who the fourth one is.
I thought there was going to be a comma there. Another guy who I'm not overly familiar with, comma, and then the name.
And I think Edelman could be running wild in the middle of the field. As the hot receiver, who's the guy that Brady likes to go to the most in those hot situations? It'd be Gronk and Edelman. Those are the two guys he probably has the most comfort with under duress.
Brandon LaFell, if it's first down.
Yeah, I'm talking about 3rd and 10. Here comes the heat, and there's Edelman over the middle for 12. That's kind of why I think it's going to be a Edelman game.
It's not that hard to stretch yourself to say Edelman, your leading receiver, and Gronk, your second leading receiver, who are going to be matched up against the two worst defensive backs on that team in all likelihood. At some point, Sergio Brown is going to cross paths with Rob Gronkowski in the middle of the field. And at some point, Darius Butler is going to cross paths for an extended period of time with Julian Edelman. Now, to pick those two, to dominate those two, seems like
Now, Butler can be competitive. And I think Butler will get some penalties in this game. But he'll be physical, and that's how he plays now. He's going to be trying to get inside Edelman's shirt. That's how he's going to play.
Do you know most people think he's the best basketball player in the NFL?
I've heard people say that a lot.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I know he was a great athlete.
I liked Darius Butler a lot. I liked him when he was here. I thought he had potential. Obviously, it didn't pan out.
He was pretty good.
No, Tony Gonzalez, too.
Tony Gonzalez? But those are not in the NFL anymore.
And those are bigger guys.
Right.
I mean, I think you're probably talking, one-on-one.
Yeah, and I wouldn't eliminate, just because those guys played college basketball at a high level doesn't mean that they're better than Darius Butler, who didn't play basketball at UConn.
Right.
No, but he's also more athletic. I could see him just running circles around guys like that.
Yeah, it's possible.
Whereas those guys, in a structured offense, as power forwards,
they're
going to
post up Darius Butler, but.
I'd love to see it. You think about the talent that you could put, Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates, Gonzalez, Butler.
A good team.
There's other guys. I want to say it might be Peterson, but I'm pulling a Perillo here. Listen.
It's okay to disagree.
It's okay to disagree with me, but I want to say either Patrick Peterson or Honey Badger.
I'm not really sure I like where this whole thing is going. Listen, we all have verbal punches. I mean, I'm just saying,
sure
you don't have to agree
it.
With me.
I'm not sure I care for it.
It is funny when you hear them because you don't even know you're doing it. And when you hear them back to you, you're like, wow, I sound like a complete a-hole.
But Fred's are the best. Those times when he goes, you think I know? Fred, you said 10 words. You have yet to say anything.
Because he's thinking. He's trying to formulate
It's really good when Andy and I are late for the show. Like yesterday, we stopped and got lunch.
Oh, his monologue.
So we walk in the middle of his monologue, and it has all of those, your nose,
And it's even better because yesterday I was telling Eric, somebody emailed in and was praising John Rook, apparently did like a 27-minute opening monologue that the person said was phenomenal. I actually got distracted from what I was doing because I just realized I was just listening to what you were saying.
It's the difference between a professional and us.
Fred does 2 minutes in. Paul and Annie still not here, so.
Tony finishes up his email. He's asking, do we anticipate LaFell having any matchup problems in this Colts game?
No.
I don't know. I don't understand the question.
Well, because he was talking about.
I could see LaFell having a tough game. Yeah. I could see if those cornerbacks are as good as they're telling me they are.
Yeah. You know they're not.
No, I know that.
Oh, okay. So why are you saying that? Because listen.
What's Toler's first name? Brian?
Greg.
Greg.
I don't believe that LaFell is a guy that I pencil in for production every game yet, even though I'm going to.
He's getting there. Close.
Even though I'm going to write a very good story about
him. I'm getting close to saying Brady's going to throw the ball to him 4 or 5 times a game.
Oh, okay. I'm talking about like the 11 that he had a couple of weeks ago.
Well, he's best. Well, but if he catches 4 or 5 and he's got
not too many.
Well, yeah, I mean, your top wide receiver is going to catch 4 or 5 passes every
game. Catch 11 every week. I'm pretty sure you'd set a record or something.
No, but my point being is,
would you? 11
there's a difference between what he did against Denver and what he's been doing the previous games. I thought he was quiet against Denver.
176.
Now, he's got a touchdown.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah,
he's not Gronk.
Yeah.
Couple
okay,
more,
I get it.
Couple more quick ones
Listen,
before we
it.
Have to take a timeout so I can
we don't have to agree.
Leave, and then you guys can
we
do
We don't
your
have
picks.
To agree. I just don't think he's going to dominate.
Cody in Nova Scotia gave us the update on T.Y. Hilton, which we got from somebody else, but then said, I'm loving the show today, looking for a huge win this weekend, 35-27. Looking for Gronk to keep
well,
us
no
moving.
Well, no one thinks it's going to be a blowout. I've
Brady to continue
most people
this level
think
of play.
Well, Gresh said 31-0 at the half.
Oh, he means huge, I guess, by just it's a road
a
win against the
Oh, yeah.
Team.
This is
and,
big, this would be a big win.
If you get pulled back into the pack with Denver and Indy, your season feels different.
Are you
all
sort
of
thinking that Indy is not as good as advertised?
Well, I don't think
they've beaten anybody, really.
But I think their offense is pretty
good.
Yeah,
no, I think their offense
good.
Is
as
pretty
team,
good. I'm
yes.
talking about winning the game
Do
as a
I
team.
Think they are on the Patriots-Broncos level? No.
Yeah. I
but
think sort
if
of
they win this,
there.
Those three teams are now in the hunt.
Well, if Indy wins the game, then suddenly, you know, you could find yourself.
A fatal three-way. No,
you
what
could
they call
find
it in
yourself
wrestling?
In three. Yeah, you could find yourself in at the three.
Triple now, threat match.
The playoffs don't start right away, so we don't have to, like, break down the three-way tie and all that stuff. And it'll be 1-1-1.
And then when the Patriots start Garoppolo in Green Bay and lose that one, now you're really in trouble. That's what Big Al
Yeah, that's what Big Al
said.
Yeah, I know. I know
I
what
you
were
doing
there. I
think we just missed
that. I think we.
Right?
Yeah.
I think we all agreed that, you know, the Green Bay game, although not as important as the conference games, it's still pretty important for seeding.
A little disappointed Big Al hasn't called in.
I'm really bummed out that he hasn't called.
I thought he had a pair.
Maybe it's
apparently Big Al got a small pair.
Oh.
Call, wow.
I'm trolling, baby.
You are. Pat in Agawam wants to know,
Patty.
Of these four matchups, really it's only three, which do you think the Patriots, which do you think will be the most likely key for a Patriots victory on Sunday? Okay?
Did you editorialize in there?
No, you'll see why.
Okay.
The first one, you want me to run through all of them first before you give your opinion?
Yes.
I tend to be reactive, and I might offer
You might offer,
opinion,
yeah, you probably will.
Well, if you say the name Rob Gronkowski at any point in the next 30 seconds, that'll be the answer.
Okay. Pat's front seven versus Indy's O-line is his first one. Okay. Pat's secondary versus Indy's backs slash receivers is his second. Mm-hmm. Gronk versus Indy's linebackers and safeties.
That's why you're going to win.
Is the third. And Andy versus Eric's mom is the fourth.
Oh.
One. See why I said there's only three?
There's really only three.
Oh.
What was the first question? I missed the first question.
I'm going to go with number
which
two.
Is the biggest matchup for Sunday?
Which matchup is most likely the key to victory?
I think the Patriots secondary against the
What I do with
Colts
your mother
receivers.
Is irrelevant to victory.
Cuz I think the Patriots are going to score. I go
sense.
In with the, I think the Patriots will score.
Yes, I agree.
I don't know what the Colts are going to do.
I think
the Colts are
going to
score, but I don't know score. That. I think I know that the Patriots will score.
I think I know.
I don't think I know if the Colts
Peter King over here. No, he's a little bit ahead of Peter King. Peter King thinks
That was just
thinks.
My way of not taking Gronk. I don't want to be redundant.
All right, before you guys do the picks, I just want to read this last email from...
You're not staying to do the picks?
I can. Locker room's in five
Well, then
minutes.
We don't need to start the picks so early.
Yeah, might as well just hold off then.
BS for a little bit.
Yeah, this one's going to be you two guys. So.
Right.
Christian from Drexel.
University?
I believe so.
Or the Tool.
CAA
that's
opponent.
A Dremel.
I believe it's a little CAA.
Big CAA opponent.
I know.
Who cares?
I know he takes
Me
pride.
And five or six others.
I know he takes pride in being objective.
Take the under.
But for what is the butt of objective as a reporter if you're wrong more often than not? It seems like since the Raiders game, he's talking about me, obviously. It seems like since the Raiders game, he's always picked against the Patriots. Sure, KC was a tough spot. Denver had a lot of talent. Since he was on a roll. But the Bills to beat the Pats?
Oh, I picked the Bills in that game.
Ah, okay. So you're wrong.
But
there,
I didn't
Christian.
Pick all the
say,
I didn't pick all the other ones.
He's talking about me though. Jay Cutler to the Bears to beat the Pats, and now he has Indy beating them. How many times does Eric have to be wrong to be on how good the team is to not pick them to lose every good opponent they play? Eric covers the most consistently good team in the NFL for the past decade, and it seems he picks them to collapse every year, just so he's not accused of being a homer. Eric being a homer is a lot better than being wrong on the team almost all the time and rant. Well, okay.
Oh, boy.
First of all.
Start rant.
First of all, I've been right about their not winning at the end of the season every year since I've been here. They've done nothing but lose Super Bowls since I've been here. Secondly.
They've done nothing but lose Super Bowls since I've
been here. They only lost one since you've been
two.
Here, right?
Oh, two.
Okay.
Including an undefeated
one. A lot of
other
years, though.
Yeah. No, but he said in the last 10 years. I've been here for 9 seasons. And that's
well,
what's happened
at the end
of every
Super
year.
Bowls. They've lost division
right.
games. They've
exactly.
lost conference championships.
Right. They've not won the Super Bowl.
They even lost a wild card game.
So I've been right about that. Secondly, I pick as the leader of the picks contest, and I think am I
you
still
are leading,
still in the lead.
Imagine how good you'd be if you could
if you didn't
the
hand
Patriots.
Us a win every week.
I pick the teams that I think are going to win. I pick to win. The teams I think are going to lose, I pick to lose. And it just so happens that I have seen this play out year after year recently, where the Patriots trick us into thinking, oh, we've won double-digit games, we're going to the Super Bowl, and then something bad happens and they lose in the playoffs. So I'm not
yeah, but that
getting my hopes up. That
shouldn't
this
be reason
to
pick
the
against them in October and November. You should
it's
be
not.
Picking against them later in the year.
That's not. But
oh, I will be.
Just be prepared. I'll be doing it.
All I'm saying is when I think the Patriots are going to lose, I pick them to lose.
So for the last month or so.
I'll go back. I have the scoreboard for you. Against Kansas City, Eric was the only one who picked Kansas City.
He was
so
right.
Three of us got that one wrong. The next week, we all picked Cincinnati.
We did?
Yep.
Fred
yeah.
picked Cincinnati?
Yes, he did. He did.
Fraud curse.
Because they were playing well at the time, and I thought that we all thought they
we
were a good
all
team.
All picked Cincinnati the next week. Then we went to Buffalo, and I was the only one to pick Buffalo.
Right.
Eric picked.
So,
Patriots
idiot Christian
I
has
picked,
to apologize for that.
I picked the letdown upset was my theory with the Buffalo game, and I was wrong. Let's see. After that, we went to the Jets game, and everybody picked the Pats to win the game. Both Andy and Eric picked the Jets to cover the spread, however.
And we were right.
Fred and I had we
Dictator
gave the
wave.
Points, and you two morons were correct. After that, it was Chicago. This is the one that really is the wrinkle in Eric's plan.
And I think this might be the one that
the
really
worst
wrinkled
team,
Christian.
The worst team in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah, really?
And Eric
I was
wrong. The only, Eric is the only
I
one.
I think they're the worst team.
Oh, no,
I think
no.
they're playing the worst right now, yes.
Yeah, but what if they played another bad team?
I think they would beat the Jaguars or the Raiders.
We'll see this week.
Who are they playing this week?
I don't think they would have beaten the Jaguars last week. I'll tell you that. What they do this week, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll win. And then Denver, Eric was the only one to pick Denver as well. So
big.
Chicago and Denver were the only – Eric was the only one to pick the opponent.
But I think a lot of people were picking the Patriots for sentimental reasons. I think they really – you know, they hate Manning. A lot of fans were thinking – I don't think they
so
were
you think
thinking
they picked the Patriots, but they didn't really mean it.
I don't think a lot Willie of people McGinnis. Did. I don't think a lot of people did.
Now Eric picked the Broncos and he meant it.
I did. I thought
I
the Broncos were better.
I can tell you with certainty, folks, Eric meant it.
And I think this is a tough game for the Patriots.
Are you
is
picking the Colts
picks?
Again?
I am.
Oh man!
Because I have to run to the locker room.
I got
but
no shot.
He is going down with the ship.
Anyway, if this streak continues, you people better be happy that I'm picking against them. Because if they keep winning, that's what I'll keep doing for you.
I'm just waiting for you to pick the Patriots and everybody to yell at you for jumping
exactly.
on the bandwagon.
It'll be next week.
You're not allowed
It'll
on.
Be next week when Detroit comes to town.
Yeah, because you can't pick the Lions.
No.
I mean,
and they've screwed us how many times?
I don't
Paul?
Know how you can pick the Lions. You pick the Bears.
How many times have they screwed us?
I was going to say, if you can pick the Bears, you can pick the Lions.
Seriously.
Pick
know,
your
I'm
nose
serious.
Or pick your friend's nose.
And, right, and
so I put you down for Indy.
You can put me down for Indy. I'll give you the rest later. And Nick from Illinois, who wrote in before, just says, I know my email was just read, but I have to compliment Eric. Superb job mixing up calls and emails, whereas Fred tends to block it off. Not only that, but Eric actually manages to read through an entire email without struggling. Sure. Although, this way I can't tell when people have typos.
That's true,
so
except for the bit
that.
Lead.
Yeah, I, that was
they
my
get
one
out to
little...
a bit lead.
And he goes, a bit lead.
Yeah.
Like, really? You couldn't figure out what he was
I thought he was
to
trying
say?
To put a link in the bit lead, you know? Anyway, guys,
we'll
have
see
fun
you in the
picks.
Locker room in a few minutes.
You want to take a break or are you going to go right into it?
Why don't we just roll right into the picks here, Andy? You and I will give our best. Maybe we can actually talk about the games a little bit this
sure.
week. And you might have a chance since it's just you and I talking. You'll know what the game is in the spread.
Oh, I'll still get confused.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you'll be confused about the matchups like Fred was upstairs off air when...
Well, and you know what that was about, right?
No,
I
have no idea.
He wouldn't admit it. You said
San
Francisco Giants.
San Francisco at the Giants.
I know, but he immediately thought baseball. He was confused.
Oh, okay.
There is no doubt. And then he didn't want to look like an idiot, so he played it off like, no, I just didn't know the San Francisco, I didn't know they were playing the Giants.
It wasn't like a matchup that happens once every 4 years or something.
There's no doubt in my mind he was like, a baseball team?
Really? The Patriots are playing the Buccaneers? Like, that's an odd matchup that you don't see all the time. But, yeah, I mean, San Francisco and
he immediately thought baseball.
All right, well, the Thursday night game, which, according to the ticker here, is 6 hours and 16 minutes away.
Jesus, I got to get home.
Well, with the traffic that I'll hit. Buffalo is at Miami.
Easy, Jana.
In the AFC Least Bowl. Miami
at
home.
Miami.
Miami at home by 4 for the right to finish in second place behind the Patriots, 4 or 5 games back.
Well, we all know that Miami has the best cheerleaders in this matchup. They're at home, so hopefully we'll get some shots
of them. Not a big fan of the Jills?
No.
It's twice I got him to cackle from the other side of the glass.
I think both teams aren't very good. I think they're both middling teams.
I believe you are.
I do not think they all stink, like Paul thinks everybody stinks. So I will simply go with the home team to take care of business in a primetime game. I'm sure there'll be some fins up in Miami on the red carpet, and I think they'll take care of business at home. And 4? Is that what you said? I'll lay it. I don't think this is going to be a blowout.
I think
this is going to buck the trend, so to speak.
I do. I think Buffalo lost a horrific game last week that they had no business losing. And I think that you have to now go on the road on a short week. I don't think they're very good. I think Miami wins this game handily.
Big. Paul Perillo saying big.
I would be rooting.
Will there be a 21-point lead in this game?
For the Patriots' perspective, I think you root for Buffalo because Miami has beaten you. So there is that little inkling of if they beat you the second time, you never know, something funny could happen.
Irrelevant.
That's out of the equation for Buffalo. So anyway, we'll move on. Minnesota at Chicago.
Anyway, we'll move on.
Minnesota at Chicago. Chicago by 4.
Chicago is more talented. Chicago is at home. Chicago is scary, and Chicago can't possibly give up 50 points again, can they? So I'll just go with Chicago and not feel good about it.
Yeah, I will take Minnesota. I don't see the talent difference that you do. Seattle at Kansas City.
You got multiple All-Pro receivers.
Very good.
You got 2 All-Pro receivers.
I have 1.
2.
1.
No, Brandon Browner told me 2.
Yeah, well, he was wrong. Seattle is at Kansas City.
Why do you hate Brandon Browner?
I don't. I'm not the one that... Oh, wait a minute. Has that not gotten you yet? Okay. Seattle at Kansas City, and it's a pick'em.
Pick'em,
wow!
I am going to...
I'm just trying to further channel Fred off air.
I am going to go with the home team in this one. I'm going to pick the home team. We know that's a great home field advantage. We know the opponent is a team that, when they go on the road, is not the same team. They have not been a great team this year. Obviously, they bitch-slapped a bend-over Giants team that just took it, and... let them run all over him to whatever it ended up being, 365 yards
or
something re-goddamn-diculous. What is the record, by the way?
I don't know.
Was that, like, close?
I really have no idea.
Probably in the old days somebody had, like, a lot of yards rushing. I know this week in talk radio circles, both I think on the station you were on for a little bit and then on EEI, you know, there was a lot of Wilson-Luck comparisons, who's better and all that. I think they're both good. They're both different. You know, we may see. I think there's some of this that's going to end up being, because I do think Russell Wilson's really good. I think there's going to be a little bit of this that could be Brady Manning-like down the road, where at some point Russell Wilson is going to have to do more, is going to have to sort of carry the offense. You won't have, you know, the great defense. You won't have the great running game. And I think there's a chance he's capable of doing more than he's being asked to do right now. All that said, I just don't think the Seahawks are a clicking, dominant team right now on the road in Kansas City. So I'll take the home team when there's nothing to lay.
Yeah, I think I agree with most of what you just said. I think Seattle is starting to play a little bit more consistently lately, although I was a little troubled by all the fumbles last week.
Mm-hmm.
And they got most of them back. The turnovers have been high.
A little moist, though, right?
Really surprised to hear the stat that Andrew Luck, who is widely criticized for the turnovers, has the same interception percentage as Russell Wilson.
It's just, well, you know, that's not true for this year.
It's just a product of throwing the ball a lot more often.
That's not true for this year.
Why not?
There's, like, they're different. One's like 15.
9-5.
What?
Luck has 9 interceptions and Wilson has 5. And Luck throws the ball an awful lot more than Wilson.
I thought I looked at the stats, and one was like 14th in the league, and one was like 21st in interception percentage.
Yeah, the percentage is career.
Oh, you're talking about career percentage.
Yeah, but I mean, it's got to be pretty close this year, too. They're pretty close in interceptions, period. And Luck throws the ball.
I was pretty
twice
sure I checked the rankings,
Wilson.
And they were like 5, 6, 7.
And their career turnovers, their career fumbles and interceptions are also very similar because Wilson runs the ball a lot. And therefore, he fumbles a lot.
Yeah, he had a bad one last week.
So I was surprised to see that. You kind of think of Wilson as the guy who doesn't make any mistakes and protects the football, and then you see numbers don't necessarily back that up. I think that, and this is going to be a fascinating debate because I think it is shaping up every bit as the Brady Manning part two. 2.0, that's how you have to say that nowadays. And I agree with you. I think it's what's going to be interesting is to see if Wilson can do more than he's asked to do now. I know that Luck could run the Seattle offense and won every amount of games that Wilson has run.
I think
could
run the Seattle offense.
That said, he doesn't have the amount of weapons that so there's another similarity. He's working with less in terms of talent around him offensively, much better defense. I will take Seattle to go on the road, even though I am not a huge Seahawks fan on the road. They do not play well. Even last year, they didn't play that well on the road. San Francisco at the Giants in the game that absolutely befuddled Fred. The Niners by 1.5.
I'll take the Niners. I just can't take the team that I think laid down and took it last week from the Seahawks. And I told you, I think Coughlin's really starting to look really, really old on the sideline. I just think that whole thing has sort of run its course and move on.
Yeah, I agree totally. Great analysis. I'll take the Niners for all the reasons Andy said. Denver at St. Louis. Denver by 8 with Sean Hill back at the helm.
Yeah, Sean Hill, whatever. The other guy I can't name. Austin Davis.
There was a Nate Davis, though. I believe he went to Ball State.
I believe so,
quarterback.
Too. I think it may have been a different Davis family.
Cousins.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that. I am going to go with Denver because I think they are, still among the best teams in football. And the strength of the Rams is, they can give people trouble when they get after the quarterback and all of a sudden you have 6 or 8 sacks, which they did a couple weeks ago. You're not going to do that against Peyton Manning. Very, very, very unlikely.
They are a little unsettled up front.
They are, but I'm sorry, you're not going to dominate to that level so that they can – maybe they can even keep it close enough, but I think the Broncos are going to roll as they do. I just don't think the Rams are a good football team.
Yeah, I agree. I like Denver big in this game, and we won't find out anything about the Broncos until they have to play their road division games against Kansas City and San Diego.
Especially San Diego because of that matchup issue that always hinders them.
Yeah, Tampa Bay is at Washington, Andy, and the Redskins are favored by 6.
Yeah, I'll just take the home team, but I am going to take the points. I just don't love Washington enough to pick them by nearly a touchdown over almost anybody, and just feels like the right play there.
I am going to take Washington, and I will lay the points because I think Tampa has been one of those teams that's been close the last couple of weeks. They do to get blown out. Just one of those, two crap teams take the home team kind of thing. Atlanta at Carolina, Carolina by 2.
The hurt but not injured Cam Newton. He's hurt, been hurting for a long time. He's hurt now. And they're struggling a little bit.
They are. They looked awful the other night.
Quite a fall for that team. Quite a fall for Ron Rivera, the coach of the year, who will be the fired coach of the year probably late next season sometime or after next season. I think the Cam Newton experience is a I think that's just a troublesome one for them. You're getting to the point where you got to pay him. He's already said, I'm not taking an Andy Dalton, Colin Kaepernick deal. You're going to pay me real money if you pay me. I'd be scared to death to pay him. I know that the Falcons stink, but I'm going to take the Falcons because, I don't know, two stinky teams. I'll take the stinky team whose quarterback I like better. Is that a theory you ever
had?
You
can come up with a theory. I'll take two crap teams. I'll take the crap team with the better quarterback.
Right. That's what I'll go with.
Not sure that the answer to that was the correct answer.
But he's hurt. He's not injured.
The theory is, listen, I'm all for made-up theories. Houston at Cleveland. Speaking
Who'd you
of
take?
Crap. Oh, I'm sorry. I took Carolina.
Okay.
Houston at Cleveland. Cleveland by 3.5 in the Patriots backup bowl.
Oh, I thought you were going to say speaking of crappy quarterbacks or something.
That is what I said.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't going to say it. I said it.
I am rooting for Ryan Mallett. because unlike Paul, I had no problems with him when he was here. And I just think I think it'd be a fun little, you know, game to see him come out. You know, he's tall, he's got a strong arm, maybe see him throw the ball down the field, make some plays. He's obviously got a ground game, he's got a little bit of a defense. And I'm just not buying into the Cleveland Browns. And I may not buy into the Cleveland Browns all the way into the postseason and however far they can go, but I am taking my Billy O'Briens to beat my Brian Hoyers.
I will take Cleveland at home.
Remember when Field Yates was just somebody? Every time I look up, he's on SportsCenter doing stand-up,
sit-downs.
His
eyes are wider every time I see him.
Wow, that turned into a shot. praising him, and Paul's
no, but don't
like
you think starts... that his eyes are really wide open all the time on TV?
You think he's Richey Caldwell?
No, they're not bugging out of his head.
Are
they're
you
like,
claiming that really
just, I think they've just simply told him to, you know, look attentive.
Right.
See, but I like knowing him, if this was a guy I'd never met, I would just say, well, that's what he looks like. I don't
big,
notice
handsome
him.
Handsome brown eyes.
I don't notice him looking like that, you know, just in everyday life.
I think he's a rising star for them.
Oh, absolutely.
No question. He's done madly in love with him.
He's done a lot of stuff for
them. I think he's got a great look. I think he's articulate. I think he's going to get more comfortable. He may out
Mike Reese.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and part of that is Mike Reese isn't interested in that game.
Right.
But I think Field is very good at what he does. And I wish him well. He's a great kid.
He could end up being the next generation's Chris Mortensen.
Could be.
Yeah.
He's going to get a lot of ass, too.
What?
He's a good-looking young man who's on SportsCenter and is a rising star.
I'm going to go in the locker room and tell Gronk that you're cheating on him.
I was about to say, you're two-timing on Gronk now.
Okay.
Wow, you're even getting it from John. Well, by the way, what time is the shoot-around today?
Good one! I like that.
He's got his PC warm-up
shoot-around
today.
Basketball season.
Do you have a game tonight? Is there a game tonight?
Saturday, actually. Saturday.
Saturday.
So, no, he just wore it.
Well, actually, there's a workout this afternoon at the gym for me, which is why I wear the gym clothes here, so I don't have to stop at home, if you really must know.
I hear you.
You don't wear that to games, do you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a shirt and tie.
Well, I assumed, but I didn't know.
No ties. Restricts the neck.
Oh.
He's got to let those pipes work, baby.
Yeah, baby. Oh, ties only for television purposes.
Okay. I did see you
last
year.
Can't say peanut butter and jam.
But you were probably on the radio. It was the UMass-Providence game very early in the season. I think that was on the U.
Yep.
And I caught the end of that game.
Might have been, yeah.
And I caught you on press row. So you're one of the few remaining radio guys that actually gets to still sit on
press
good
row.
Seats.
Fortunate for us, of course, with home games at the Dunk, though, we're right next to the bench, so I have the coach standing right in front of me the whole
time. Oh, you can hear everything, too. That's
you
great.
Can hear everything.
You can't
great.
See anything.
But you can't see anything,
no,
and there's
just,
no monitor.
Just
so I'd almost, yeah, okay. So I'd almost rather be up off the floor. A little flip in the ass.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
A couple steps to the left.
John will be.
Thanks, babe.
John will be like, there's a bucket by I'm not sure who. And Joe will be like, number 15.
I had to look at Kevin the last time he produced the last game.
Joe's just yelling at the ref.
Yeah, Joe's just screaming something.
He's playing the role of Paul, yelling at the ref the whole game.
Yells at the refs. That's absolutely true.
Cincinnati is at New Orleans in an interesting interconference game. Saints by 7.
Disappointing teams.
Yes.
Disappointing teams. I'll take the better quarterback and the home team, so I will take the Saints to win and cover.
I am absolutely going with the home team here. Saints, different animal in the dome, even though they lost in the dome for the first time in a while last week. Oakland at San Diego, Chargers coming off a bye, dealing with a three-game losing streak when they're still laying 8 points, Andy.
Three-game losing streak will not reach 4. San Diego Chargers at home, as you said, coming off the bye. I believe they're getting Ryan Matthews and Manti Te'o healthy, which should help a little bit. I don't know how much.
Well, Matthews will help. I don't have any idea what Te'o's been doing.
I don't know either. I just know about
ask his girlfriend.
Yeah. I see what she did there. She left him for Field Yates. I'll take them to cover as well because, you know, they're playing the Raiders.
I will take the Chargers as well for the same reason. They're playing the Raiders. Philadelphia at Green Bay, and what should be a really good matchup in the NFC. Green Bay by 3.5.
Green Bay by 3.5 over Philly. Mark Sanchez coming off whatever that number was.
330-something yards passing.
But with 2 touchdowns and no picks for the first time in like 63 starts or whatever it was. And yet I listened to the game a little bit on the radio, and it felt like Boomer Esiason thought he was close to making some mistakes at times, had a pick called for the guy landing out of bounds. And we know Sanchez at times can be loose with the football. I think he is not ready to go into Lambeau Field. I don't care whether he has the quarterback whisperer or not, and win a battle, a shootout, with Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going with Aaron Rodgers to win this football game.
Yeah, I am as well. I just think the Packers offensively at Lambeau, I believe 15 touchdowns, no picks at home for Aaron Rodgers this year.
Hasn't thrown a pick at home since 2012.
Yeah, he is.
That's good, you know.
That offense is pretty good when it gets rolling at Lambeau, and I'm really looking
a leap in
to
production.
Seeing that one in a couple of weeks. So I will take Green Bay, although I don't think it'll be easy. What? What
did you say you're looking forward to seeing?
The offense, Green Bay's offense in a couple of weeks in Lambeau when the Patriots are there.
More fearful than the Colts offense in Lucas?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Detroit at Arizona.
Interesting.
Arizona by 3 with Drew Stanton at the helm.
Drew Stanton and the Arizona football Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are a pretty good football team.
I agree.
Not a Carson Palmer pretty good football team. I think they're a pretty good football team. I think they can run it. I think they can throw it. I think they can defend it, front end, back end. So I'm going to take the Arizona Cardinals without their starter to beat the Detroit Lions.
I agree with everything you just said.
I got to say my weekly, every time Bruce Arians opens his mouth, I love what he says, so I'm rooting for him yet again. He said something funny this week. I forgot exactly what
he said. I'm going to take Detroit here simply because of the backup situation. I think that Drew Stanton is going to be... he's going to be under some fire. I think you're going against a pretty good defense in Detroit, and I think that front could put some pressure on him and really slow things down. And I think Detroit comes away with a good, tough road win that's aided greatly by the backup quarterback, because I think Palmer's been playing pretty well. I think people are sort of whistling past the graveyard that there's not that much of a drop-off between Palmer and whoever else plays. I think Palmer's been pretty good.
Well, I think he's been pretty good, but I think the team is pretty good.
I think the team is excellent. I think the team is excellent. Pittsburgh at Tennessee in the Monday Nighter. Pittsburgh by 4.
I am going to take Pittsburgh. Obviously, you know, people were surprised that they were the blown out, basically, by the Jets last week and the way that game unfolded and the way they were favored after 6 touchdowns in consecutive weeks from Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think
12 touchdowns in 2 weeks, an all-time record, 13 in 3 weeks. I don't know if that's a record.
I don't think the Steelers are as bad as Paul thinks they are, and I think they have the playmakers in this game with Brown and obviously Roethlisberger. I think they'll run it a little bit, and I think they'll win this game relatively easily.
Yeah, not a lot of teams can lose to a 1-8 team.
Oh, shut up.
Pittsburgh
your
is
team
okay.
That you think is the best in football almost did.
Who's that?
The Patriots.
But they didn't.
But they almost did.
But they didn't, and they weren't playing the same way then.
One lo-
Well, they weren't. Short week.
And the Steelers weren't playing the same way against the Jets as they did the previous
week. No, but they were playing great going into that game.
And they might
play
great this week. You're a dink.
No, I think Pittsburgh is an average team. I don't think they're like Chicago and
Oakland,
Minnesota, Oakland, Jacksonville, those stinky teams. Tennessee. That's why I'll pick Pittsburgh over Tennessee in this one. And I have my fingers crossed because it's my knockout pick. Patriots at Indy. The Colts, Andy, by 2.5.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a fun game. I think the Colts offense is legit. I think this is a chance to find out how legit the Patriots defense is, because as I've said all week, I think they're going to get spread out. There are a lot of weapons on that Colts offense that aren't necessarily elite weapons, but they're guys that Luck trusts. He goes to with some regularity. So they spread you out and they challenge you, not just, oh, if we can match up with these two receivers, we win. I think there's a lot more to it than that. I think they'll probably run the ball a little bit. We still have doubts about the run defense. But all that said, Paul, they get an army, we get a Gronk. I think Brady and Gronk will go in there and are going to bitch slap the middle of that defense like you wouldn't believe. Shane Vereen will chip in. Julian Edelman chips in. And I actually think they will get the turnovers they need to make it more than just a field goal game. I'm going to go with 38-27 Patriots.
I like the Patriots in this game for the offensive reasons that Andy talked about. I think they have too much for an overmatched Colts defense. I might look at this game after it's over and see a different defensive performance from Indy, but I look at it and see the names on the sheet, and they don't match up to the numbers in the stat sheet. I don't understand how they've held so many teams down below 17 points. Statistically, they've been solid all year long with the exception of that Pittsburgh game. And I just don't see it. I don't see how they do it. And I don't see how they stop Gronk. Like Andy said, I think Edelman, as I mentioned earlier in the show, has a big game. I don't have the same amount of confidence in the Patriots defense that others do, and I think this will be a shootout, and I think Luck probably will make a mistake, and that will allow the Patriots to probably get a two-score lead and make Indy chase. 38-34 final, Patriots win the game. I get a nod from John Roof.
Yeah. Actually, I'm actually kind of almost right in the middle of both of you right there.
What do you got?
38-30.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're all envisioning a similar kind of game.
Yes, we are.
I'm hoping to.
I actually hope it develops because I was, you know, listen, anytime you have Manning involved and it melts down, that's drama, too. That's the story.
Right.
Was Manning last week playing a horrific, 2 weeks ago, playing a horrifically bad game.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of adds the spice to the whole Brady Manning thing. There's another, you know, throw up all over himself game for you. But in the long run, like, you'll miss out on the drama of a shootout that goes back and forth and with the two great ones and who's going to blink first. I'd like to see one of those unfold.
Plus, set it up now so that potentially, and I've been trying to hype this up as Brady Luck 3, trying to get something going there, a little traction, his first chance at home.
Good try.
But then maybe we could have Brady Luck 4 in the postseason and Manning Brady 17 in the post.
Yeah.
You know, I like this little
XVII.
Yeah, I like this little quarterback era. And I've also been a little annoyed at people sort of mocking Luck because, you know, the first two games against it really weren't games at all because he got blowed out. Well, I'm sorry, he was a rookie, and then he was going on the road into Foxborough in the postseason. I don't think those are easy things for a young quarterback, so I don't think that means, he's destined to go like 0-7 against Brady and Belichick and suck and throw picks. So I kind of want
to see. I also was very impressed with his ability to bounce back after a horrendous start in that playoff game here last year. He throws a pick, I think, on the very first play of the game. They fell behind big, and all of a sudden you're in the fourth quarter. It's a 7-point game, and LeGarrette Blount ran 75 yards for a touchdown.
Right.
That's what put the game away.
Right.
So I actually give Luck credit for, even though he played a bad game here, I think he had 4 picks.
So you're not like Jerry Thornton just shredding him, and you wouldn't trade Brady for Luck and all that?
Well, listen, I told you what I think of Luck. I think he's going to be the best.
Can we all agree we would trade Brady for Luck?
Oh, I would.
Oh, okay. Because I think it's a no-brainer.
I don't think it's close between Luck and Wilson. I think Luck is heading.
Well, I don't even care about that. I would just trade Brady for a guy that'll give me a decade.
So how long are we going here?
Well, you liked it when we took part of your... You know, we'll let you do one of your 27-minute monologues that people love on the Internet.
You're just jealous because you can't do a 27-minute monologue.
I could not.
I got a reminder right here from a Facebook friend. It says, reminder to slap Andy.
Hey, don't hit me.
Yeah, we're just trying to kill time because we don't want to go in the locker room. It's been open for like 17 minutes.
Oh, can we miss the whole thing?
So you miss the whole thing if you stick around?
Just 20
minutes. Come hang out on the playbook.
You can stick around if you want and do the monologue.
Hang out on the playbook. I don't think I'm allowed inside the playbook.
Sure you are.
Are we?
There's room in the playbook.
Huh? What's the cranberry bread
What's the fee?
As a matter of fact, funny you should say that. Miss Robin said, I owe you guys another cranberry bread.
Sounds good to me.
Coming soon.
I love the breakfast breads. So I got a lady that gives me banana bread, got the cranberry bread. I throw those in the toaster. I toast them, warm them up, a little butter.
Ready to roll.
Breakfast, champions.
Yeah.
Plus, cranberries are like one of those.
It's seasonal.
But they're also, aren't they?
They're good for you.
Yeah, like an antioxidant.
Yes, antioxidant thing. Superfruit thing.
So I feel like I'm, getting healthier when I eat it.
Yes.
All right, see ya.
Speaking of superfruit, coming up on the program. Thank you very much. Coming up on the program, we'll have Russell Baxter. Rodney Harrison joins us shortly. Mike Wells from ESPN.com covering the Colts. And Tom James of the Terre Haute Tribune Star. All Colts coming up in the playbook.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.